don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
My advice to someone who's contemplating inserting a rectal foreign body is to not do it.
Yo, buck ain't made for that!
I'm a man. A man like any other with dreams and emotions. And that's why I'll never put a foreign object up my ass.
You know what? I'm going to be out of town. I'm taking that week off.
What?
That whole week.
What are you talking about? Taking
Hold on. What's a butthole week?
You.
Did you say butthole week?
No.
It takes
Leave
a week?
Leave Jack at home because he doesn't enjoy butthole week.
No. Man, all week just dedicated to the butthole.
How often does butthole week come up? Is it once a year?
It's really once a year.
I love her. I wouldn't enter her in any way that's unnatural.
I think I'll probably put it in my ass.
It ain't natural.
So anyway, to make a long story short, and to answer your question, I think you should try doing it in the butt.
The back door.
And now.
Why don't you put your thumb up your butt?
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
Our feature presentation.
Nice tribute.
Who's the girl that's scared of the back door? I love that.
I think that's a movie trailer, isn't it? It's the
It is.
End
it's
of
from
the
that,
clip.
Yes. That horror movie that's out right now. The Visitors.
The Visitors.
Is that what it's called?
No, I don't think it's
Strangers.
Visitors.
Strangers.
Strangers. That's the one. Yeah. In fact, by the way, a listener is the one who sent us that clip and said, I'm so disappointed in you guys that you haven't isolated this out of the commercial yourself. When the listener starts to do our job, then I'm embarrassed.
I love that. It did cross my mind when I heard it the other day.
Yeah?
She's like, then they were in the back door. And I thought,
Thanks for bringing it up,
well,
Lisa. Thanks for the heads up.
I didn't think you could cut it off like that.
It did mine, too. I was like, there's just too much background noise.
Yeah.
It's not even worth checking, but I'm not good.
But the listener was on the stick and sent it to Bean.
Someone knows more than
yep.
we do.
Wow.
And I love it. It's awesome.
The back door.
Anyway, that was a tribute to ass just for you this morning, Lisa. Man, I don't know why I was thinking about your ass, but I thought to appreciate it.
Very nice. March is come and gone, but
sure. I know.
But, you know, there's next year.
Morning, everybody. It's 5:32. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 5th of Poon.
The back door.
No.
No, you're right.
That's
no.
really not
no.
the same no. thing.
At all. But he right. can't it's, help himself.
No.
Exactly. Today I had to.
Right.
Anyway, what's going on?
Oh, just hockey's gone. No.
Yeah.
Hockey's over.
How about those Red Wings, by the way? Yeah, I mean, if that's not a dynasty, what is?
It's a dynasty. Shut up.
What have they won? 4 in 11 years?
Yes. Bastards.
Is that a rivalry?
It's just one team.
I don't know.
Just talk about
oh,
one team.
Okay. See, I don't know very much about sports.
I don't know if Pittsburgh and they are Detroit is a rivalry, but we've been
they
trained as Kings fans to despise the Red Wings. And
only because they're good, though, not for any other reason. Well, not because there's anything particular between Los Angeles and Detroit.
Well, there's hateable players, but mm-hmm. this year especially, they just are an all-star team. You just look at them and go, okay, five of those players are, you know, in the NHL video game. They're just they're on the all-star team starting. It's absurd how good they are.
Wow.
Yeah. Bastards.
I heard the guy with the cup interviewed this morning. You know, the guy that guards the cup.
The guy with the white gloves? Yeah.
Yeah.
They brought it in. It's the guy that brought it in. Yeah.
Yeah. He's been up all night.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Was it two guys, one cup, or just the one guy?
Yeah.
It was just one guy, one cup.
Two guys carried it out, by the way.
Oh, well, so it was two guys,
so
one cup.
So it was for a brief moment, right. Two guys, one cup. Then it was like 30 guys, one cup.
I would never want to see that.
That's what you have to see.
The worst video I've ever heard of.
Cup bloweth over.
So that's over. And then the Lakers start the finals tonight.
That's right.
Yep.
So in about a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Your life is over.
NBA's over. Now you got hockey gone. You got basketball gone.
Sad Kevin.
And you're left with baseball.
The best sport of all, right. Football, right. Though, there's news trickling out about football starting around July. That's when the camps start getting together and stuff like that. I mean, you
right.
will have something to follow because, you know, you got all those football teams you love, all those football local teams you follow.
That's
so you got
funny.
That going on.
I do love football, but don't have a team.
Nope.
And
exactly.
News trickling out doesn't do it.
Yeah, really. It's not the same as having a game to watch.
No.
That's for
when
sure.
does that start? When does football start? September?
I think so.
October?
I think around then, yeah. Don't forget, you also, this year is going to be a little better for you, Kevin, because you've got the Olympics starting in early August. So you are going to have some sports to watch.
I do like the Olympics. I'm strange that way. I remember being a kid.
It surprises me that you do.
Yeah, I remember being a kid and sitting in front of the TV watching, and no one else in the house was interested, but I was fascinated by the whole thing, and I would watch for hours.
Huh.
And I realized at an early age, I'm on my own here. This is not, my passion is not shared really by anyone.
Even the training camps in football might be interesting, though, because Pac-Man Jones could officially check in.
Yeah, yeah, he's back on the roster now.
So someone's going to get shot or a stripper's going to get punched or something.
That's true, yeah.
I don't care for most of the events at the Olympics. Most of them are not that interesting to me. But I will tell you that if the media are doing their job, they develop stories about the athletes that make you care whether they win or lose, whether you're into that sport or not.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So usually they do a pretty good job of that. I can't watch NBC right now. I'm out. I mean, from now until when the Olympics start, because they tie everything on the network into the Olympics as
Wait
if we
minute.
Don't know the Olympics are coming in August.
Hold it. The Olympics are on NBC?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, every single day it's here's a story about a chef that's traveling to China to cook for the Olympians. I mean, it's just they just do everything they can to over promote it, and it just I'm sick of the Olympics before they get here if I watch too much of that.
There is the men's basketball, which is the all-stars basically of the NBA.
Right.
So Kobe and a bunch of different players will be playing. So
sure,
that's
pretty cool.
You're right. A lot of the events are just bogus.
But I do like the stories.
Yeah,
like
sometimes.
I think those are interesting.
Sometimes they're swing and a miss.
Now, one more sports note, and then we'll move on to today's show. I don't follow the Seattle Mariners. That's not a team that I watch.
I'm sorry. I thought that was your favorite team. No, I mean, you watch every single game that they have, and if you can't watch it, you listen to it.
I'm aware of the club.
No, wait. 100% of the games you watch.
It's not somebody that I really follow, but there was an interesting event last night after the Seattle Mariners baseball game when they got swept by the Angels. And by the way, Mike and I were just talking about this off air. This Joe Saunders, you don't know the name because he just came up from AAA this season for the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
He just won his ninth game of the season already, okay?
He's a pitcher?
He's a pitcher. Just won his ninth game. He's making how much money do you suppose?
If you just came up from AAA, a tiny amount.
Yeah.
$425,000 is what he's making.
Yep.
He just won his ninth game, leading the American League in wins. Our pitcher, who we traded, who we're paying $7 million for and traded five players for in the offseason, was booed off the mound yesterday in the third inning.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And it was at home?
At home, booed off the mound in the third inning.
Yeah.
So manager John McLaren, and this is his first full year as the manager.
And
of the Mariners,
his last.
And maybe his last week as the Mariners manager. He finally blew up. He finally got tired. I mean, imagine what it's like. You have to talk to the press after every single game. And
that's
you have
a rule.
That's part
right?
of your role as a manager. Right. Imagine when you've lost 20 out of 27, when you're 17 games under 500, a point at which, by the way, no baseball team has ever made the playoffs from. So essentially your season is lost. You got to answer the questions again about what's going wrong. Why do you guys suck?
But at least he has a low payroll, and that's good.
and they're paying $120 million for this team that's 17 games under 500. So finally, last night was the night that he lost it. Now, I don't know whether this is him just acting so that everybody thinks he cares, like at least he's passionate, even if he's not getting the job done, or if this was sincere coming from the heart. But here's what manager John McLaren sounded like last night.
We're playing our off every day and got nothing to show for it. I'm tired of losing. I'm trying to get my beat, and so are those guys. We got to change this shit around and get after it, and only we can do it. The fans are pissed off, and I'm pissed off, and the players are pissed off, and that's the way it is. There's no easy way out of this. Can't feel sorry for ourselves. Got to buckle it up and get after it. Tired of damn losing this every night, and we bust our it's got to be a total team effort to turn this thing around, and that's it.
Wow. I like it when coaches melt down.
I hope there were no follow-up questions. I hope they just backed out of the room. Reporters just said, have a good night, John.
Because they realized they were watching a human being melt?
Yeah. I mean, you can feel the frustration, but still, you know, not getting the job done.
If I run the team, I'm thinking, I don't care how much you're busting your ass. You're 17 games down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy blows. Hey, so are you ready to stand behind this? Oops, sorry, wrong one. Are you ready to stand behind this?
Baseball is dead to me.
Ooh.
Baseball is dead to me. I'm not going to go that far this time, but I will say I would not be displeased if last night was the last McLaren game. I'll tell you that. Baseball is dead to me.
Oh, so it's the manager you're done with.
Well, I will say that there are some players I'd like to see go too. That's unlikely in the middle of the season, but I'd like to see him go and try something else. You got to mix it up. You got to do something. You can't keep doing what you're doing.
I'd like to see Angels fans email Bean at KROQ.com and, I don't know, let him know if you feel his pain or not.
The Angels did everything they could to lose that game last night. They had like two or three errors out there defensively. They still won 5-4. So, anyway.
Good times.
That happened. Baseball is dead to me. All right, you think baseball is going to be tough for you when that's all that's left in a couple of weeks? How do you think it's going to be for me?
Worse. Bean is the guy who starts talking the first time there's a peep out of anything about camp or maybe a pitcher is playing catch with somebody. He starts ranting and raving.
Right.
So that's funny. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show. We have Cousin Sal on the program today. He's going to be on WWE Wrestling.
That's odd.
How did that happen?
Bit of a change for him, I believe.
Yeah.
We have a modern-day Ghostbuster. He'll put your ghost in a bottle for you. For real, the guy says.
And then what?
Yeah,
display
exactly.
It in then your living room?
Then
or?
You, yeah, I imagine you take it on a mall tour. And
but don't,
gets
most, don't most people hire a Ghostbuster to get the ghost out of the house? Why take a chance by keeping it in a bottle in your house? Let it go.
Well, these are many of the questions we can ask him.
Because then maybe right? It would come back. Maybe you want it right where you can see it.
But at some point, isn't that bottle going to fall? And then isn't the ghost going to be pissed? I mean, you got to think about that.
And can you see it? Can you actually see anything in the bottle? I doubt it.
Well, you're not a believer.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
we believe you can see.
We have many questions for him, and we will find out. I don't know if you've seen the latest from Orlando, Florida. You know we love Florida because they're dumb. They're crazy. They're ridiculous. They're insane.
Yeah, they need to go away.
Apparently Jesus is in a tree in Orlando in the bark.
Of course he is.
And he only shows up at night when the streetlights come on and goes away when the streetlights go off, but it has nothing to do with the lights. No, it has nothing to do with the lights. Don't misunderstand
that. It's just his schedule.
That's his schedule. Yeah.
Sounds pretty outrageous.
Yes, it does. We are going to talk about people who eat paper coming up just after the top of the hour. Got an email from a listener and a coworker. Powers down paper like there's no tomorrow.
Is that what does that do to you physically? I mean,
I don't know.
Can things get like stopped up?
So good for you.
Yeah.
Paper?
I'm sure it is good for you.
Good for
yeah, sure. So anyway, we'll talk about that. We got LaQuisha talking about A Shot at Love 2 with Tila.
Good.
Whatever her name is. And Ask a Squid. Now you know. We'll be right back.
It's Ralph Garman. Hey, Ralph.
I would like to win the Coldplay contest
and
have Coldplay come to my house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, like, patch my drywall.
Because you need some work
and
done?
Do some stuff around my house. Yeah. Because I'm really getting an ass full of just living in clutter.
Do you think
maybe unpack some boxes? Maybe, you know, help me carry some stuff upstairs. Just, you know.
Look, I know you guys play music, but I need some help with some boxes.
You know, you said you would do, you know, you would do a gig here. You didn't say exactly in what capacity.
Yeah, I don't
think. Put down your instruments and pick up a box.
I don't think
I'd say, unwrap some of those glasses. Let's go. Let's go. Chris Martin, move your ass.
I don't see that.
You know what a pasty little British guy to be your mover, by the way.
How dare you?
He wants anybody at this point.
Yeah, right. Hey, Ralph, I know this is going to maybe tough for you to commit at this point because you haven't officially even moved into the new house yet. But are you willing to say you'll never move again? Are you at the point now where you're just going to die in this house no matter how long it takes?
I told you at the beginning of the process, my advice to everyone is never move.
Yeah, moving
never move, ever. Wherever you are, trust me, as bad as it is, going somewhere else would be worse. It's just a stupid idea to take everything you own and try to move it someplace.
But
it is. It's insane. I don't know why anyone would ever do it. Yeah, I can't believe the pioneers ever loaded up their covered wagons and tried to get across this great nation of ours. They should have stayed in Rhode Island.
That's
just
a
us. West Coast. Just stay there. Don't bother trying to go to Oklahoma. That's what I would have said.
At some point, it has to have crossed your mind that a fire would have been the best thing that ever happened. If just burn down everything you own now and then just start over.
How cleansing. Yep. It would just start fresh. Just
that's
start
right.
All over. Just give me just a backpack and a tarp and maybe some crystal clear drinking water. That's all I would need.
I can make that happen if you need
you know a guy?
Place to go up in flames.
You know a guy?
Yeah.
Some kerosene. And
he is a guy. Are you kidding? He doesn't know a guy.
That's
he is
true.
A guy.
What we're talking about.
Probably fit you in my schedule the next month or so. Got a lot of burns.
Kevin the Firefly Rider, they used to call him.
That's right.
All right, let's talk about show business, shall we? Speaking of moving, poor Ed McMahon.
This is so sad.
Now, I don't know
he
what's going on
move.
With him.
He wants to move and can't.
Yeah.
He
can't sell his house, Kevin.
Here's
can't
his
sell
deal.
It.
Can't sell his home. He is about $650,000 behind on his mortgage.
Oh no.
Yeah. He's 85 years old.
Mm.
The
yeah.
dude is probably not working as regularly as he used to,
you think?
Say. Yeah. He used to be the sidekick, for those who don't know, of Johnny Carson, who was the host of The Tonight Show for like 30 years before Jay Leno took over. And he did a bunch of other work, too. He used to host a show called Star Search. And he used to work with Dick Strokey Clark on a bloopers and practical joke show. I mean, the guy was at one time one of the busiest guys in Hollywood. But 85, he's just not getting the gigs anymore.
He was also one of the most popular commercial spokespersons of all time, too, for Budweiser and a bunch of other clients. But the problem was, Ralph, is that he broke his neck a couple of years ago and has had massive health problems and has not been able to work. That's what the money's not coming in anymore.
I don't think I knew that.
I didn't either.
I didn't.
Yeah.
But apparently he didn't have much of a 401k plan because now he is a bunch of money behind. It's an expensive house. It's the asking price on the house is $6.25 million.
Oh, ouch.
For a six-bedroom home. And he's trying to sell it, but he can't because he lives in the same neighborhood as Britney Spears.
Really?
And buyers come to view the house to see whether they want to put an offer in or not. And the paparazzi are clogging the streets. They're constantly surrounding the neighborhood, trying to get a picture of her. And people are saying, F this. There's no way I'm moving into the situation.
Wow.
So poor Ed McMahon can't move his house. Dude's got to sell and he can't get out. Wow. He's got to probably be foreclosed on.
Britney should buy his house for him.
Yes, she should.
She really should. She should buy that whole neighborhood and just let everyone else get about their lives.
Wow. By the way, Ralph, in the old days, pre-Ralph Garman, when Kevin and I used to do stuff, we visited Mr. McMahon. We've been to that home.
Well, the curse continues then.
Surprise you.
We went to the house. This will
surprise you.
At it. Now look at it.
Don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
Not really.
I find that hard to believe.
We went into his house. We did the old feature we used to do called Celebrity Refrigerator. And Ed was the greatest guy in the world.
Took us
into his kitchen and opened up his refrigerator, and it was packed floor to ceiling with Budweiser.
That's funny. He did like an occasional beer that
day. Yes, he did. Yeah. That is true.
He was known to get juiced on the show. They all did back then.
Very entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was okay back then.
On the Johnny Carson show?
On the Johnny Carson show.
No kidding.
Very often, both Johnny, Ed, and the guests would just be lit up. But Ed especially would have a couple pops before he came out. And when Carson would recognize it, he would see it in his eyes, he would start working him. And then you see everybody just like busting up for no reason, just being all drunk. It was good times. That's when Hollywood was Hollywood.
Yeah.
Speaking of Britney Spears, I guess you don't mess with her. That's what Adnan Galib has found out.
Oh.
The London Sun, British tabloid, is saying Adnan Galib was trying to sell a provocative tape of Britney Spears where she performs a striptease for him. He was selling it to a company that was going to launch it on the internet. Shortly before he closed the deal, however, he was stabbed.
Stabbed?
Dude. Stabbed.
Really?
Stabbed with a knife.
Was it a random stabbing?
They don't know who the perpetrator was. It was a stab and run.
Wow.
It's Britney, bitch.
The matter is still being investigated, according to Galib. He said whoever they were, they got their point across. However, he said he is taking a break from show business and is now keeping a low profile.
I'm sorry, was he in show business?
Apparently, for 15 minutes there, he thought he was.
That girl's fat.
Britney is taking a break from show business as well, by the way.
Yes, she is.
I do not want to cross her.
No, because she will be stabbed.
That's weird.
Yeah, it'd be great if it was her.
Yes.
Doing the stabbing.
Wouldn't help Ed any.
Britney, bitch.
Continuing with troubled starlets. How would you like to smell like Lindsay Lohan?
Oh.
Depends.
Say no.
Lindsay Lohan.
Apparently, in an attempt to revive her career, she is planning on launching her own line of fragrance.
Lindsay Lohan.
Apparently, she is experimenting with different scents, according to the Sunday Times of Britain, until she comes up with a fragrant oil that best represents her. Currently, the front runner is a combination of burnt matches and saltwater eel.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
That's quite a mixture.
That is. You wouldn't think those two would go together. But in essence, it's really quite delicious.
I'd like to try that.
Sounds pretty outrageous.
Sure is. Another Pop-Tart is trying to cash in on her situation. Christina Aguilera apparently is launching her own line of bras.
Okay. Well, she knows something about that.
For big-bosomed women, because thanks to the miracle of breastfeeding, her own cans have grown to size E-cup.
Boobs.
Whoa.
Did you say
she's rocking E's.
Yeah, she sure is.
Oh, my God.
E's.
E's.
Was she 5'2"?
Eyes of blue. Coochie, 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 coo.
She stand up?
Will you stand
up? What the hell was that?
So she said now that she knows what it's like to be rocking large sweater puppies, she is looking into a line of bras to help girls with big bosoms have something fashionable to wear.
Nice melons.
That would be nice.
It can be a problem if you're well endowed finding a sexy yet supportive undergarment.
That's so hot.
Right, Lisa?
Well, I'm not endowed like that, but that is absolutely
true. That's what the girls say,
right? Yeah. Is heaven missing an angel? Because you've got nice cans.
Not sure that works.
I'm not sure how that pickup line works. Looks like we have more details about the upcoming second season of Celebrity Rehab, starring our good pal Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Yes.
Heidi Fleiss.
Pure.
According to the Post Chronicle, is signed on to detox with the rest of celebs.
Be interesting to watch her.
Sebastian Bach and Aaron Carter. Just added to the mix, according to the newspaper, is Sean Stewart, the 27-year-old son of Rod Stewart. Really, are we down now to Sean Stewart? Are there no other celebrities who could use to kick something?
Does he do anything?
I have never heard of this guy before now.
I suspect he's the type who's doing it to get on television.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I got a drinking problem.
Yeah,
I do.
Oh, I'm addicted to so much stuff.
Right.
Help me.
Yeah, he's just a guy who just lives large for, you know, his parents' money.
Yeah.
What are these people doing while we're waiting for them to start taping the show?
That's a
really
good question.
Hanging
going
out
on their last binges?
Just like, doing it for a while? Hey,
did you watch the first one?
Stay
that's
alive for
did.
2 months.
Like, I got to go into the rehab. I'm just going to get baked right now. I'm just going to get just stupid drunk before I go in.
We get enough to last me through the whole rehab thing.
Yeah. So apparently producers have their sights on Dennis Rodman as well, but he is not yet confirmed. They'd like to get him on. Like to see the worm drying out, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And lastly,
where's Andy Dick, by the way? Excuse me for interrupting, but where the hell is Andy Dick? They should drag him into that thing.
It won't work.
I'm not sure
that's
how it works.
He should be on every single celebrity rehab. He should just be a permanent fixture.
Okay.
Jeez,
I
mean,
guy. I don't know what to do here. How to help you?
Well, make it happen,
because,
Ralph.
Because he's this
I'll make a call.
He's this close to dying. That's why I say it is. It seems like he'd be perfect for that
You're
show.
Right.
He'd make it entertaining, too.
But
yes.
If he doesn't want to.
What are you going to do?
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him stop drinking it.
I'm not sure that.
That is true.
I'm not sure that's how it goes either.
And lastly, you know, most actors are lying a-holes.
Yeah.
Especially when they're promoting their work.
Sure.
Right.
But I got to give mad props to Sean William Scott, who is not apparently the type of actor who will just lie about his resume, regardless of the level of work he's done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He told AbsoluteNow.com, an entertainment news website, that his last movie, Mr. Woodcock, was so bad, he said, I gave up watching after 15 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
I concur, by the way. I saw
really?
It.
Really?
It was that bad.
He went so far as to grovel to his fans, saying that he knows the movie was horrible, and he's sorry, and he apologizes to his fans.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That is rare.
A guy to come clean and say, yeah, that was a bad movie.
Don't you feel so bad, Ralph? And we see it all the time. You're contractually obligated to promote your film after you make it. No matter how bad it is, you've got to go out there and go, oh, I really think people are going to like it.
You have to sort of dance around that stuff. You can see actors when they know they're trapped in a turd. They're like, right. It was one of the best times I've ever had on a set. That's usually the line they go to.
That's true. You can't argue with that.
It was a lot of fun. We had a great time making this. They just steer away from the quality of the end product and talk about the process, which is a clever way to kind of dance.
I mean, I felt we had Jenna Fisher on yesterday. God bless her. I love her, and I'm sure she's great in that movie that opens up tomorrow. But, I mean, that's been sitting on the shelf for the last couple of years. You know they weren't eager to put this one out.
Sean William Scott is in that, by the way, the
that's
promotion.
Right.
Stars Sean William Scott.
John C. Reilly. Yeah, he can't catch a break. Speaking of John C. Reilly and Jenna Fisher, I finally caught up with Walk Hard.
And how good was that?
This week.
Did you like it?
Funny,
right?
It is great.
That's
is
what
great.
I thought.
Very I love that film.
That's what I thought. And
very
the commercial.
Very clever, very entertaining, mm-hmm. very sort of smart in how it kind of picks on all those biopics you've seen about famous celebrity singers and that kind of stuff. Very entertaining and very clever.
And the commercial for it did it no favors. When you watch the commercial, you go, that's not going to be very good.
Did not.
Totally wrong.
Did not show you how smart a movie that was and how funny.
I love that.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, I think it's on DVD. No, I'm sure it is.
It is.
It's on. I know it's on pay-per-view and DirecTV. That's where I caught it. But really, really
it's
well done.
It's worth it just to see Jenna in that movie.
She's stunning in that film.
She is.
It's beautiful.
Turns out.
And very funny also is my pal Kristen Wiig, who plays his first wife.
Oh, she's great.
Who was also on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
She has the first wife who has like 27 kids with
him. Oh, right.
He said, you'll never make it. I've got a number one record on the charts, but you're going to fail. Yeah, awesome. Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Butler of the Psychedelic Furs turns 52 years old today. Ron Livingston, you know him from Office Space, The Practice, Band of Brothers, Standoff, the series he had on Fox last season. He's 41 years old. Mark Wahlberg turns 37. And Pete Wentz.
Ow!
The Fallout Boy is 29 years old today. Happy dance birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 6 o'clock. Coming up, we're going to tell you about Jesus hanging out in the bark of a tree in Orlando.
Well, who says he can't? Jesus can do anything, Kevin. Come on.
And LaQuisha later this half hour.
All right.
Also, House of Pain, Lisa's favorite song, Jump Around, Foo Fighters, and Oasis coming up for you later this hour. Now, I don't think I remember seeing this email, but K-Rock listener has a problem she wants us to help her with. What's going on, Kevin?
Christina, good morning.
Good morning.
You emailed me about a coworker.
Yes.
And apparently this coworker you pretty much can't stand.
Almost.
Tell us what it is that he does that annoys you.
He eats paper. He eats paper all the time, all day, maybe every half an hour. He crumples up a piece of paper, puts it in his mouth, and eats it.
Every half an hour?
Like a big piece of paper?
Well, it's small enough to kind of just wad up in your mouth and chew on for about 15 minutes and amuse yourself.
Oh my gosh.
Is the reason that you don't care for that it makes noise? Is that why?
Well, it makes noise. While he's chewing, it makes a lot of noise. And then on top of that, because of all the bleach that's in paper, obviously, he has this horrible cough. So he'll be chewing on it, eating, and then he'll be coughing really horribly because he has, you know, he's consuming all that.
And in your email, you mentioned that he doesn't seem to have any idea that everyone knows he eats paper.
Well, and the way we're kind of, the environment of our office is kind of like we're in cubicles that have high walls. So when he does it in there, he thinks it's pretty private, you know, he's covered up, no one could see him. But people walk by, and he walks by chewing it, and he'll talk to you while it's in his mouth. And
really?
So gross.
Yeah.
Does anyone say, hey, there's paper in your mouth?
Well, who would say that?
Me?
I feel like it's like, I don't know, I'm just like, it's bizarre. And it's not now, just me, you know, my other coworker knows too, and we kind of approach the third person about it.
But Christina, whether you like this person or not, somebody needs to go to this person and say, dude, you got some sort of a deficiency, some sort of a mineral deficiency or something that's going on that's making your body crave this paper. You should go to a doctor. I mean, it eventually could become very serious.
Yeah.
How do you know it's not a mental problem? Why is it?
It could be either. I think I've obviously been so interested enough where I've kind of read a little bit about it, and it is an actual disorder. But it could be either.
Wait a minute. It's a disorder or it's a disease?
It's like a disease, I guess. I don't know. It's called pica, and you crave paper.
You crave dirt. Paper.
Why hasn't anybody suggested he go see a doctor about it? Is what I'm asking you.
Because they don't care about him.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's his problem. You would know better. It's a pretty simple problem to figure out if you have it. It's not something you would need intervention on, I think.
I certainly would think that he could.
You feel like as an adult, if you're consuming that much paper, you would question yourself and, you know, take it to that level on your own.
How old is he approximately?
He's old. He's, you know, up there.
Okay.
Well, what does that mean? Does that mean 30 or does it mean 60?
40s.
Okay.
40s, okay.
But he can for sure look around the office and notice that no one else is enjoying the paper like he is.
Oh, of course. And he makes noises, too. He goes,
so he shows you.
Well, he doesn't show. We can hear each other. It's really extremely quiet in our office. If you do something in your area, someone else right next to you, all four people around you can hear you perfectly.
All right. Let me ask you this, Christina. Does he ever ask for extra copies of the report?
Does he ever ask for what?
You know, additional paper. Does he ever say, hey, I'd like another copy of that? It looks delicious.
Oh, we're always making comments like that. Oh, let's not eat the paper now. Let's not finish it.
Everyone's saying that to him?
Well, me and the other coworkers that know. Well,
you're doing the right thing.
Amongst ourselves, not to him. I don't know if he's ever heard or not, but.
I wonder if brown paper tastes like chocolate.
You know? Good. Actually, I've been been there for almost 2 years, and I'm so curious hearing this guy do this all the time. And I
can't believe
it once. I was like, let me eat.
Ho, 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 slow down.
And it's not good. It's not good.
Christina, you tried eating paper because he was?
I tried it. I'm like, let me see what it's all about. This. He's eating it every half hour. I've been there for 2 years. This has been going on for 2 years. Let's see what's so interesting about this.
Well, if it's important he's enjoying it, I can see why he's not going to go to a doctor. He doesn't want to let it go.
Well, apparently he craves it, too.
Yeah, it makes him feel good.
Did he start going through withdrawals and shaking and stuff? If he's in a meeting too long, I got to step out have a paper.
I'm stunned at your self-control in not having this conversation with him. I mean, I really am. I don't know how. I mean, like, Kevin and I wouldn't last 1 minute in that office without pulling the dude aside and go, what's up? All right, let me ask you this, Christine, and then we're going to open up the phones for other people who eat paper or have other bizarre non-food cravings. That's what we're going to talk about here this morning at 1-800-520-1067. Is it only, like, blank paper that he eats, or is it only newspaper that he eats? Does he have any kind of thing that he narrows it down to, or is it any kind of paper? Would he eat a dollar bill if he had to?
I think he would.
Does he use like Post-its for a salad and then the main course?
I wondered the same thing. If he eats Post-its and then there's that.
Well, you're the one who doesn't have to wonder. You know the guy. You work 5 feet from him. Get some answers for us.
All right.
Do some research, woman. What is wrong with you? All right, so we're going to take some phone calls. I mentioned that I used to eat dirt as a kid. I thought everyone did. But,
and paste. I eat paste. Well, I mean, paste. Not regularly, but.
Yeah, you eat paste regularly. But I'm saying you're not. I'm saying you're not in your 40s usually eating paste.
No.
Or dirt. Or anything else. So the older you are, the funnier it is that you're eating it. Because most of the stuff you grew out of when you were a kid, I don't know that I ever even tried paper to see if I would like
it. No.
You know
what
I mean?
Knew it would be good.
I'm going to try it now, though.
I did. Christina, thank you very much for the call, even though you couldn't be lamer. We appreciate you coming on, okay?
She's done a lot of research, just not the kind of research that we would do.
Yeah. How do you not say to the dude, hey, what's up with eating the paper? Hey, could I have that sports section back from the Times? Oh, wait, what? How do you not have that conversation with the dude?
Maybe he's over her. Maybe she's, you know, an employee or something.
It's her boss, yeah.
I don't know.
The only non-food thing I ever ate, and again, we're looking for your calls if you eat non-food stuff, was paraffin wax. I used to love, love, love paraffin wax. I used to eat it all the time.
What does paraffin mean? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, where do you get it?
I think they use it. I never used it for what it was
out of
meant
your
for.
Ear?
But I think it's for cooking. I think it has something to do with cooking.
Okay.
Like you mix it in with food and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know exactly what it is or what it was made of, but for me, it was like chewing gum. You know what I mean? I used to eat it all the time.
But did you swallow it?
Yes.
I did the same thing with surfing wax, you know, when I was like growing up. Because it smelled good and had that consistency. It was better than gum.
Did you swallow it?
Yeah, I did. And then once I got, you know, to kind of more of an adult age, I realized, hey, I should stop doing this.
I mean, wax.
Remember those wax lips that you could buy when you were a kid?
Same thing.
Yeah. But they sweetened them a little bit, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
They made those edible.
Yeah.
But the paper thing, and what she's talking about, I think she's right. It's called pica. I mean, that usually means you've got some sort of deficiency. There's something in the wood, pulp that they make the paper of that your body doesn't get and needs it. You know? Yeah.
So it's a real need of your body? It's not a mental thing?
But that's not to say, Kevin, that can also be a mental thing for some people, I guess. I mean, I don't know why that wouldn't be a possibility, too. That's why the guy needs to get it checked out.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Tiffany in Laverne. Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning.
I've never heard of anyone eating this.
My sister did it, too, when she was little, and we're 5 years apart.
Wow. Right.
What do you eat?
Cigarette ashes.
Cigarette ashes.
God. Ew.
Tiff.
When my mom would take us to Sears, we'd kind of like hang out by the cigarette ash area, you know.
Oh, by the trash can?
Yes. No, the ashtrays. Yeah.
Right, the ashtrays.
Do you smoke?
No.
You don't smoke, yet you still ate cigarette ashes.
Well, she was a kid. You don't do it anymore, do you?
Oh, no. But you know what? I did taste it like probably about 5 years ago just to see what it tasted like.
Yeah.
And it's really spicy. It's like hot. It burned your tongue.
So it didn't. So you kind of liked it?
Was it still on fire?
No, it doesn't taste good. But when I tasted it about 5 years ago, I remembered the way it tasted as a kid.
Oh, sweet memories eating cigarette ashes.
Yes.
Wow.
What did your mom say when she saw you and your sister eating cigarette ashes?
Well, she took my sister to the doctor because, you know, she wanted to find out what was going on. And he said it was probably some kind of deficiency. And, you know, not to let us do it, but, you know,
deficiency upstairs.
It's not going to hurt.
So eating what do they do? Wait a minute, hold on. The doctor said eating cigarette ashes? That's fine. He's good with that.
No, he wasn't okay with it. He said it's not going to kill him, but, you know, don't let him do it too often, but, you know.
So what do they do, put you guys on some sort of extra vitamin program or something to try to make up whatever you were missing?
No, they put us on the patch. Just kidding.
I was buying it for about
Nicely
a second,
done,
by the way.
All
right. Wow, cigarette ashes is better than we could have hoped for.
No kidding.
You rule. All right. Thank you, Tiffany. We're going to take a break. Irene, you hold on because I don't know anyone else that eats vapor rub. And everybody else hold on at 1-800-520-106. Whatever happened to, I don't know, food? Whatever
it's
happened
very
to that?
Expensive.
Whatever happened to eating food?
Nope, apparently not. We just talked to a K-Rock listener who has a coworker that eats paper, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about other non-food items that you eat. Is this former producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, Jay Lightning Tillis, on the phone with us? Is he calling in on the show right now?
From the LBC?
Good morning, gentlemen. How
are
you doing?
Hey, Lightning.
Hey, Light.
I would have put money on the fact that Lightning ate and still eats weird stuff.
I really don't anymore, but this is back when I was like 10 years old. My parents had a nice sized fireplace, and they had blue tip matches on a mantle, and I grabbed a few, discovered that they could light on anything, so of course I had to try my teeth. You know, I'd strike them against my teeth, and I realized that they tasted good.
Huh.
So I nibbled on blue tip matches for a couple of years.
It's interesting.
That's what he said.
They wouldn't give you a cookie, you went and got a match.
Yeah, exactly. I figured this would be close to Kevin's heart since he's a pyro. So.
I am a pyro, sure. But I don't strike up on my teeth.
I'm surprised you never tried it.
Hmm. You never struck a blue tip match on your teeth.
I may have.
Yeah,
I may have.
All right.
What
did
they taste like? What did they taste like? Because isn't it mostly wood?
Sulfury and salty for some reason.
Oh. Sulfury and salty.
Yeah, I bet it is. Yeah, I bet it is.
I was strangely attracted to it.
All right.
All right.
You're the man, Lightning. Thank you. Bye.
It is interesting, though, that so far, with the exception of Paper Guy, who currently is working in an office and eating paper, all the other stuff is just stuff a phase you went through as a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to go to...
Most people get out of it. They grow away from it.
I don't want to go to Robert. Let's go to Rich. And Garden Grove.
Okay, but we got to go to Robert after now, that Roberts, because we have to hear. We have to find out what that's all about, though.
Rich in Garden Grove. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Good. What'd you used to eat?
I used to eat roly polies.
The little bugs.
Yeah, and it wasn't just like I would eat them. I would like break them in half and look at the junk inside.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think I've ever heard the term roly poly. By the way, it's an insect. That's what we're talking about.
It's the little black bug
that rolls up in a ball when you touch it.
Yeah,
potato bugs.
Potato bug, yeah.
Okay, potato bugs, gotcha.
Yeah.
So you would eat those. You haven't moved on to torturing animals and eating people, have you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Let's check it.
By the way, Rich, it's weird that you ate it. It's not customary in this country, of course, but around the world, lots of people eat lots of insects. I mean, they're considered, pretty much of a food staple. At least what you ate was edible. It's something that, you know, a lot of people eat.
Yeah, and Lightning was talking about matches. I had a friend when I was younger who used to say that he ate matches and ketchup because that's what his dad ate in the army.
Matches and ketchup.
His dad was probably in Vietnam somewhere in a jungle. You have food. All right, Rich, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right, that's all the time we have.
Let's talk to Robert from Huntington Park.
We have to find out what this is about. People eat at this time
Robert,
of the morning.
Good morning. No. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What's going on with you, dude?
Oh, he's gone.
Robert.
Oh, thank God he's gone.
We lost him?
You're a bad man.
Let me put him back on hold and try it one more time. I just want to try one more time. Robert? Yeah, he's gone. Thank God.
Let me tell you what he was eating.
He was eating
the stuff that comes out of a pimple? Okay, that's what he was eating.
Good morning.
Exactly. Yes.
All right, enjoy your breakfast, everybody. Let's go to Irene. Good morning, Irene.
Yes.
Tell us what you eat.
So when I was like 6, 7, I used to eat Vicks.
Vicks vapor rub.
Yeah. And
really?
I used to love the way it tasted. Like, this kind of felt going down. I felt like a breath of fresh air.
Oh, I need this piece of tape forever.
No kidding.
Is Vicks Vapor Rub, is it like a paste or is it a liquid or what is it? I'm not that familiar with it.
It's a paste and you're supposed to put it like on your chest and like when you have a cold and you can't breathe.
It's kind of like Vaseline, right?
Exact same consistency.
It's like Vaseline.
Yeah, it's Vaseline, basically.
With a fresh minty taste,
with a fresh minty flavor.
And I used to sneak into my mom's room and I used to like take a couple like fingerfuls, and I used to run away and go in my room and eat it. It was so funny.
Good times.
When was the last time you ate Vicks Vapor Rub?
Oh, my God. I think I was like 10, 11.
What made you stop, Irene? Why did you finally quit doing it?
I think those are just one of the things that you have to get out of your system before you get older so you can move on.
You're kind of aware that it's
certainly not one of the things I had to get over and move on. Tell you that, Vicks Vapor Rub. All right, Irene, thank you.
Well, you guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye now.
It's two for Thursday, by the way. New feature we're bringing back here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I hope you enjoyed it. She made bisexuality into some sort of a career choice, and it has worked so far for Tila Tequila. A Shot at Love 2 is the program. Very popular over there on the MTV, and LaQuisha watches it and reviews it for us each week on the Kevin and Bean Show. LaQuisha, welcome back, my dear.
Welcome back, indeed. I am back.
Yes, you are.
And I'm watching Tila Tequila trying to find true love on Shot of Love 2, because she got her heart broke the first time.
Now, your opinion is that she's still looking for true love.
Yes, she is.
Okay.
Because there's six people left on the show. She got three guys and three lesbians.
All right.
And she's trying to whittle it down to four, and when they get to four, she's going to pay a visit to each of their families and see how they live with their families and how she fits in with them.
Excellent.
Okay.
And she's very excited about the next step in the process of finding true love.
I'm willing to go to your homes to meet your families, but how far are you guys willing to go for me?
That's right. She is actually willing to meet someone.
What?
What are you willing to do? She will say hello to a stranger. What will you do in exchange for that sort of dedication from her?
I don't even know what that means.
She is willing to say, nice to meet you, new person.
All right.
That don't just give that up for nothing.
Well, most people do.
No, they don't.
Okay, all right.
And now she wants to know, how can you prove your dedication to true love?
You guys can prove your love in a couple of different ways. You can get a tattoo. You can get a piercing. You can walk on broken glass for me. Or you can take a seat in the electric chair.
That's right.
What is going on with this show?
Now listen to me. She is willing to meet one of your family members.
Right.
The least you can do is sit in the electric chair or walk on broken glass.
What is happening?
A small price to pay for her to say hello to your family and have a meal.
But, LaQuisha, doesn't this, in normal circumstances, this says to me, I'm dealing with someone who is stupid, if they would be willing to get my tattoo because we're on a reality show together, not somebody who makes an appropriate life partner.
What are you willing to do for love, Bean?
Wow, she's bad.
Yeah, Bean, you're not very romantic.
That's
Bean.
Right. She'll say hello to your parents. What do you do in exchange for that?
That is pretty extreme.
I say get your body permanently marked with ink.
Sure.
Well, this one girl, Brittany, one of the three lesbians, she says, okay, I'll get a tattoo. And then they show her she only has a choice of three things.
Mm-hmm.
The name Tila in a giant heart.
Yeah.
The name Tila in giant letters. Or the logo of the show, a shot glass with a heart in it. And that's when Brittany says, maybe I spoke too soon.
I'm totally not opposed to getting a tattoo. I just want to think about it.
You have tattoos, don't you?
I do. But I thought long and hard about them.
Well, that's about being spontaneous.
I know.
I was a little bit disappointed because she was the one who volunteered and then decides to change her mind.
Because she doesn't want your name on her.
What?
She picked crappy tattoos.
Is she thinking?
Because once she gets Tila on her neck, and then you cut her loose in the survival ceremony or whatever.
Right,
she got Tila on her. No wonder she don't want to do it. Well, George, who's trying to be a tough guy, he says he'll walk on the broken glass.
Yeah.
He don't care.
He was looking like he was in a lot of pain.
I could feel the glass, cut my right foot.
Walking on broken glass to prove his love.
What the hell's
going
on?
He says, I think I cut my foot, and he's looking at it, and there's no blood, because now I know there's a cut in there someplace. I'm in pain. It's horrible. And then Tila Tequila reveals a little something-something when she walks on the broken glass.
Strutting,
you know why it wasn't so bad for me?
Why? Because you're tiny as hell?
Because you're so hot.
Because it's fake.
It wasn't broken glass at all. It was some sort of fake special effect glass.
No, she didn't.
Okay. Wow.
And he was like, oh, I'm in pain. I think I cut my foot off. Oh, I did so much for love. Oh, I can't walk. I can't walk. And the whole thing was fake.
Like everything else on this show.
God, I hate her.
Now, Lisa, another one lesbian, she don't want a tattoo. And she doesn't want to get nothing pierced. So she's willing to sit in the electric chair. I can't believe I'm saying this thing sometimes.
I was in massive pain. Oh! Oh! She got pretty shocked. I was impressed.
Now that was for real.
Wait a minute.
So they can shock you, but they can't have you walk on glass.
Actually ran an electrical current through her body.
But did she say, hey, that guy, it was fake on him?
It wasn't fake on her.
What the hell?
She holding on to like two car battery cables, and they shocked the hell out of her. I'm not doing that for Tila Tequila.
It tells me all I need to know about these contestants is they don't walk out and go, no.
Well, Brittany, the girl who said no to the tattoo when she saw what the choices were, she said, all right, I'll do something. I'll get a piercing. I'll get my belly button pierced.
I'm extremely scared of needles, like really, really scared of needles. For me to get my belly pierced, I would rather get a tattoo because getting tattoos isn't hard for me, but getting pierced is.
By the way, Brittany, pierced nose and pierced lip.
Okay.
Got a giant ring in her lip, got a big old jewel in her nose.
Yeah.
How horrible can that be for her? She got two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like nobody on this show no more.
They're all hateable.
Well, Tila starts spending one-on-one time with each of the contestants, and she's hanging out with Christy, probably the most attractive of all the lesbians. They're on a shopping spree buying some lingerie. And they start having a heart-to-heart talk about what would happen if Christy brought Tila to her home if she makes the final four.
It's actually a really big step for me to bring home a girl because I've always brought home guys.
What kind of lesbian are you? You're the worst lesbian ever.
What's happening on this show?
Bringing home, I always date guys till now. Now I'm a lesbian. Am I on television? Yeah, I'm a lesbian. Now, Lisa, the only one who got shocked in the electric chair, she the only one make any sense to me because everyone else is professing their true love for Tila Tequila. And she like, wait a minute. I'm just living in a house with some people on a TV show. I'm not willing to go that far yet.
I am different than everybody in the house, to be honest. Like, everybody's like head over heels in love already. And I mean, I want to, but like, if it's wrong, then I'm not falling in love. Like, is that bad? I've had my heart broken before, and the fact that Lisa's afraid to fall in love with me, what does that say about our future?
It means she's not an idiot.
Right.
Wow.
That she might wait to get to know someone a little better before she starts saying how in love she is with them. Means she's got a brain in her head.
Means she should pick her immediately.
Why should six people be all in love with her, but she doesn't have to say who she's in love with until the finale? That ain't right somehow. Well, it's time for another challenge.
Uh-oh.
Lisa, Tila Tequila decides that the one way to find who loves her most is by who can eat the most hot dogs.
What? Come on, LaQuisha. You're making that up.
I kid you not.
There's no way.
So Tila reveals these hot dogs, and I'm like, I love eating wieners.
I bet you do.
Wow.
But is that not any hot dog contest? Maybe you guys should have that beer mug guy try this. They took all the hot dogs and the mustard and the relish and the onions, and they put them in a blender.
Okay.
And they make a big hot dog smoothie out of them.
Oh, what is the, how come?
In about like a 32-ounce mug with a straw.
Ew.
And you got to suck down all the hot dogs through a straw and eat it that way.
Yummy.
That is not good. And one girl, she ain't up for it.
Go, start sucking!
I took one smell, and I was like, oh, gross. It was so nasty. Ew, I'd rather have pig vagina.
Okay.
She'd rather have pig vagina.
Can be arranged?
They did. Sadly. They did it early in the episode. Yeah.
She must not like tequila then, because
she don't want true love.
She doesn't want true love.
Because she can't suck down hot dog juice. Well, it's time to give out the keys to pick the final four people who will stick around on the show.
Yeah.
And the obnoxious guy from New Jersey inexplicably gets the first key of the night.
Final Four, baby. First key right out of the gate. Mama, we're going to Jersey. Woo!
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Wow.
But, you know, it made me feel good because at least Tila Tequila has to go to New Jersey now. That'll show her. That'll teach her. Got to go to goddamn Jersey.
Wow.
Well, she let's go two of the people. You know who she lets go?
Who?
Lisa, the girl who says, I just can't fall in love because everybody else is.
Right.
The one who showed some common sense.
Yeah.
She
right.
cuts her loose. And George, the guy who walked on broken glass. This is a guy, by the way, that she brought back after she already kicked him off the show once.
What?
Kicked him off earlier in the season, brought him back for a second chance. Now she's kicking him off again.
Her guy.
She gets to reject him twice.
I was right the first time. Your shot at love has ended.
My shot at love is not over. My shot at love now is just beginning. Good luck to you, and it's not goodbye. I'll see you later.
It's what? A guy who may not have a firm grasp on the concept of the show.
What's happening right now with that dude?
When he says, my shot love is beginning, no, see, you're leaving the show. And then he says, it's not goodbye. Yes, it is goodbye. You're leaving the show.
Yeah, she's going to need protection.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's spooky.
I can't imagine what would make that guy so desperate for her.
I don't either. But these people, crazy.
All of them. There's not the only one that had any common sense got kicked off tonight.
That's right, because she refused to say she was in love with her.
Wow.
This girl just a narcissist. She just needs her some attention bad.
I am so glad you watched this instead of me, LaQuisha.
Next week, they're going to the families, and that means that some old grandmother's going to get a lap dance or something. Good time.
Can't wait. Thank you, LaQuisha. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Hold on, Ralph.
Just want to give everybody a heads up before I get into the showbiz news that this weekend, don't forget, is Erotica LA.
Well, that's right.
Happens once a year down there at the convention center. Always a good time. It is the 6th through the 8th. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can meet all your favorite porn stars. You can see all the latest in sex toys, in porn. If you like sex, it's just the best thing ever. You just go down there and walk around, and they've got strippers and sexy toys and DVDs and lingerie and porn stars, and they've got seminars this year. They'll be giving seminars on pole dancing for fun and fitness, sex toys for beginners, fellatio 101.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that one you're making up because you want it to be true?
No.
All right.
It's called Sword Swallowing 101. You can go and take a class. Backdoor Betty, a class in what you can imagine that would be. Wearing
sure.
white pants.
Wearing white pants, yeah.
Erotic role play for couples. It's just a fun, fun time. I'll be down there Saturday, actually, doing some interviews and stuff. So if you see me, come on up and say hi. But you can
kiss
go to
girl.
Erotica-LA.com for more details on how to buy tickets. So. Check it out. All right. It's bad enough. It's hard enough being Angelina Jolie, right? You got everyone following you around and taking pictures of you, and you're trying to raise four kids. You got two more on the way. Now she's got to deal with the fact that someone is impersonating her assistant and
what?
Sending out fake press releases on her behalf.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
This is how Entertainment Tonight got duped into thinking that she had already had her kids. They went on the air and said Angelina Jolie had her children.
Because they got a press
That's
release.
Right, because they got a press release. And they couldn't figure out where that press release came from. Now they realize someone is pretending to be her representative and is sending out all kinds of fake press releases about her and Brad.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Who has that much time on their hands?
I don't know.
Really? I mean, how do you decide that's going to be your life's work?
But maybe if you're on Entertainment Tonight, you might want to look for a second source.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they got egg on their face.
But I can see that.
They got fertilized egg on their face.
Oh!
Johnny Depp has the solution for all of Lindsay Lohan's problems.
Okay.
Apparently she just needs a vacation, he thinks.
Really?
Really? Has she worked at all in the past 3 years? Isn't too much vacation time her problem?
She needs time
off.
Yeah, she's in New York, she's in Cannes, she's in
does
L.A.
Drink
she
and just, hang out with the lesbian DJs.
Yeah.
Apparently, the two met backstage at the MTV Movie Awards, and Johnny felt so bad for her that he offered her the use of his private Caribbean island for her to get away from it all and relax.
That's nice. That's cool.
So we've got Mel Gibson saving Britney.
Yes.
And now Johnny Depp is coming to Lindsay
Johnny's
Lohan's rescue.
Johnny's lending a hand to Lindsay Lohan.
This is so interesting.
He's got his own personal paradise, he calls it, which he calls F Off Island. When he wants to tell the world to F off, that's where he goes. And he says, Lindsay, you should just go down there and just chill and just get yourself together.
Nice offer.
My idea would be get a job. Mm-hmm. This way you have less time to drink because you'll be working. Maybe she's taking my advice. Daily Variety newspaper reports today she is starting work on a new film.
Well, that'd be good.
It's a comedy called Labor Pains, where she works as an assistant to a stuffy boss in a publishing company, and she pretends to be pregnant in hopes that he won't fire her.
Okay.
Maybe you should take that vacation.
Maybe a few islands.
Yeah, just go to the island.
What's the point? It should have a point or something.
Indeed.
You think you'd ever get used to using the words, I have my own private island? Really? I mean, you think it's natural to him now?
Probably, I'm going to go down to my own private island.
Got an island.
Got to fly down to my private island.
You could use it.
I would never stop using it, actually.
But
I could.
But you'd never get used to it.
No.
It wouldn't seem normal to you, I don't think. It's odd.
There is a magazine that I've seen, and that's what they deal in. It's a real estate magazine that just buys and sells private islands around the world. There are lots of them, hundreds of them.
There are?
It's really interesting how tiny some of them are and how remote some of them are, and then others that have, you know, tremendous infrastructure on them, but you can't own the island. I mean,
you know, that's Bean's next step.
Oh, well, it'd be
because
ideal.
The island he's currently on isn't removed enough from the general population. He's got other people near him.
Yeah.
He's going to get down to just 20 square feet of island. It's just going to be like a sandbar almost with a house on it and a microphone.
That would be my dream.
That would be ideal.
Working with Howard Hughes.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Kenny G, saxophone legend Kenny G, celebrates his 52nd birthday today.
What is that?
Kenny
deep
G.
Are you
hot for him?
I mean, isn't he number one on the list of people who you wish had never been born? I mean, on the list of people in history that you wish had never been born, Kenny G.
Kenny G is the Barry Manilow of saxophone.
Yeah, he is.
How dare you, by the way? Are you kidding me? There's no comparison.
No difference. That's what you mean. There's no difference.
Barry's a fantastic singer, writer, arranger, composer. I mean, Kenny G just plays that stupid flute.
Kenny G is the world record holder for longest note.
I know he is. I hate him so much.
You can't hate Kenny G.
I hate him more than...
Wait a minute. But you can't hate him and love Barry Manilow.
That's what I'm saying.
Not possible.
Of course I can. There's not even any comparison.
Same
world. Not even any comparison.
Same category.
And by the way, that new age music is the worst of all forms of music. I feel the way about that, the way Ralph feels about country music. I hate that new age music so much. And he's the worst of all the performers of the new age music. So therefore, I hate him the worst of all the people in the world, even Hitler.
I hope Johnny Tesh isn't listening.
You're insane.
I just hate. And by the way, you know how funny it is, Kevin? We've told the story before about how you've run into your B-52's nemesis and other people. I've run into Kenny G, I swear to God, like five times since I've lived here. Because he lives in Seattle. You know, I've run into him like five different times. Every single time I think, why don't I have a gun permit?
Can't do it. Can't have one without the other. You either love both or you hate both.
That's absurd. That's a ridiculous statement.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Richard Butler.
Oh, they'll love this downtown, folks.
Richard Butler of the Psychedelic Furs is 52 as well today. Ron Livingston, talented actor from Office Space, Standoff, Band of Brothers. He's 41. Mark Wahlberg turns 37 years old today. Peanut from 311 turns 34. And Pete Wentz. A Fallout Boy turns 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look, I believe in God. Bean doesn't. That's fine. Everybody has their own beliefs. But let's just say that there is a God just for the sake of this next story.
Okay.
Everybody accepts the fact that there's a God. Really, is he going to be hanging out in the bark of a tree?
But here's the thing about God.
Really?
If you believe in God, you believe he is infinite and can and will do everything, and it's inexplicable, and there's no explanation for it. We can't begin to comprehend his way, so you have to accept that it's possible that this is how he chooses to spend his time.
I don't think you do. I'm pretty sure you don't.
Well, we don't really know what God looks like.
He doesn't look like tree bark.
No, he doesn't.
So whenever people see God or the Virgin Mary, they don't know what they looked like.
They look like whatever the popular representation is that you've seen in art.
Right.
But here's the thing about God, Kevin. Here's what confuses people sometimes, I think, a lot, is that you think in terms of, oh, God doesn't have time to play reindeer games like this because he's very busy. He can do a million things at the same time. His use of time, if we understand the Bible correctly, is nothing like our use of time. We can do one or two things at a time. He can do millions of things at a time.
I agree.
So it's no sweat for him to spend time putting Jesus in the bark of a tree. He can do that and wipe Asia off the map with a tsunami at the same time if he wants to.
Right, but I'm saying, does it make any sense that he would put Jesus in the bark of a tree?
We can't pretend to understand why he does the things he does. Why did he invent the platypus? I mean, how do you explain that? God does honked up stuff.
All right, here's the news story. Of course it comes from Florida, because Florida is crazy.
Yeah, Florida.
A local man says that he has a transforming tree in his yard.
Okay, now here's my favorite part. This particular story, he's admitting that Jesus is only in the tree when the light come on at night, when the street lights come on.
During the day, the trunk is just bark with a knot in it. But at night, he says the bark brings out a holy image.
The face forms right here where this knot is. And then as you come down, there's texture. There's waves in the tree, and that forms the knees and the feet. So after the sun goes down, the street light that's right above the tree here, it casts the shadows across this, and then it forms something that looks like Jesus.
Okay. Now, I'm going to rephrase this question, Bean, because I can see your point. In this particular case, when the guy says that during the day it's normal bark, but when the street lights come on and the shadows are just right.
Yeah. And you squint.
Then it looks like Jesus.
What's your question?
If it was Jesus, couldn't he stand out a little better than that?
Of course he could.
Okay.
And it isn't Jesus, and that's the point. It's a freaking shadow guy in Florida. How can you not see that?
The guy says it's a shadow, and yet it gets the same coverage as it always does, whether it's the Virgin Mary and a piece of toast or whatever.
Yes, of course.
Remember the dude that had I think it was Jesus or the Virgin Mary in his toilet? Remember that?
Yes.
And then when he flushed it, it went away, and you went, wow, that's ugly.
And I guarantee, by the way, that there's a line of people every night in this Orlando, Florida suburb that drive out there and take pictures of it and get their picture taken with it and stand and pray and leave candles. I guarantee that there are people who are buying that this is some sort of some signal from the Lord.
Let's call Godly's Tree Service.
Florida?
Oh, because it has God and tree in it? Is that how we chose that?
Because if God is in a tree, Godly's Tree will know about it.
Okay.
Well, and they're tree experts, too, so maybe they have special expertise.
I'm sure God would give them the heads up if that were the case. Why is Florida so honked up? There's every story that comes out. It's like 90%. Hello, sir. It's Kevin and Bean. We're on the radio at K-Rock here in Southern California. How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. This is Godly's Tree Service?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. We're reading a story here in Southern California about Jesus that appears in the bark of a tree. Have you heard this story?
No.
Who's yelling in the background there, sir?
Sounds
like Jesus is appearing in his office. You've never heard of this particular story. Have you ever seen any of these stories where Jesus shows up somewhere and people think they see the image of the Lord?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and start lining up.
There's a dude in Orlando just like that. He says Jesus is in the bark of a tree.
Oh, yeah?
We thought you'd know, being Godly's tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, thanks.
So he's out.
He's out. Let's try the Coliseum of Comics. Try that one.
Florida?
Coliseum of Comics. The Coliseum of Comics.
Okay.
There's a big coffee store, this one. Come on, people. Come on.
What's our plan if they've heard of this particular, is just to see if they believe it's Jesus? Is that what our goal is here?
Coliseum of Comics Orlando. This is Maxwell. May I help you?
Hi, Maxwell. It's Kevin and Bean. We're on the radio at K-Rock in Southern California. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
Fantastic. Listen, big story nationwide about the Jesus figure that has shown up in a tree in Orlando, Florida. We saw it on your Channel 6. Have you caught wind of that story yet, Max?
No, I've heard nothing of the sort.
Really? Okay.
There's a dude in Orlando that says that Jesus shows up in the bark of his tree at night when the streetlights come on. Does that sound effing shaky to you? Hello?
Seems like there are a lot of weird stories coming out of Florida lately. What's in the drinking water out there, Max?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay. Have a good day. I liked the Iron Man. It was good.
Thank you.
What, like he made it?
It's not
why would you say I like the Iron Man?
Comic book guy. I tried to bond with the dude over comic books.
How do you
He's
think
a comic
that went?
Book guy.
It's not very comical.
Florida?
He's not very comical at all.
You're right. That's a good point, Lisa. Here's the headline. Tell me this one didn't catch your attention. George Takei to beam up Trek co-stars for wedding. He, of course, is one of the high-profile gay celebrities that plans on getting married when he's able to here in a few weeks, I guess, in California, since that Supreme Court decision recently. He's going to marry his longtime partner of 21 years, George Takei. Very happy day right around the corner, and we've got the great actor on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We're good. How are you? You must be very happy.
We're very excited. Both Brad and I can't wait to finally take the plunge.
You know, a lot of times this happens with a celebrity couple where one person is famous. We know so much about you, Mr. Takei. We don't know anything about Brad. What's his deal?
He's dreamy. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
We met at the gym.
Oh, you were both working out?
Yes.
Okay.
And I just couldn't take my eyes off his lean, tight, muscled body.
Okay.
I see. Okay, all right.
Tremendous and glutes. I set my phaser for sauna.
I'm not even sure what that means.
We went into the sauna.
Oh, okay, I got you.
And nature took its course.
Okay.
Now, 21 years you've been together, and as I understand it from the recent media reports, you were planning on proposing to him, and then wouldn't you know, the little minx, he surprised you by getting down on one knee and proposing to you.
He did. I was eating a sandwich,
mm-hmm.
and he got down on one knee. And usually that means one thing.
But this time, what does that usually mean, George?
This time, he pulled out a ring.
Oh,
and the next thing you knew, we were making plans.
Wow. Very exciting. Now, we saw in People magazine that your best man is going to be your colleague from Star Trek, Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov.
Yes, Walter would be my best man. And Nichelle Nichols, who played Uhura on the show, will be my matron of honor.
Okay. Do you have
very Trek ceremony?
Have you not made any friends since the late 60s?
Well, these are the people I'm closest with.
Okay.
So the theme will be Star Trek.
Okay. So
and all the guests will be shuttlecraft from the ceremony to the reception.
And what's the shuttlecraft going to be made of?
It's going to be a shuttle van.
Okay, all right.
A van, okay.
Paper mache all over it.
Okay.
It's going to look like a spaceship.
This is interesting, because I would think that you would be making fun of Trek fans who would have a Star Trek-themed wedding, and here you are having one yourself.
Well, actually, I hadn't planned on cashing in on the Star Trek fame,
mm-hmm.
but my sister, Lika.
I'm sorry?
My sister, Lika Takei.
You have a
She came up with the idea to get some publicity by doing that. She's helping me plan the event.
She's not there, is she?
Actually, she is here, yeah.
That's great news.
Here at the house. We're working on some plans as we speak.
Hey, Lika.
Good morning, Kevin, I mean. How are you?
Lika, you're helping your brother plan the wedding, are you?
Yes, I am.
What a unique idea to have a Star Trek wedding.
Isn't it, though?
What is wrong with you, George?
What are you doing?
It's going to be fabulous.
Yes, we're setting phasers for fabulous.
I think they're such a beautiful couple.
Look, Lisa, you're not doing Bela Lugosi. You're doing George Takei's sister.
This is Lika.
Yeah, Lika. I'm sorry, I meant Lika.
And why you called her Lisa?
I don't know
what that's about.
All right. So, are there any non-Star Trek actors at all involved in the wedding, or is it the whole thing just going to be the guys from the show?
George, that's for you.
It's mostly a Trek theme.
Yeah,
mostly a Trek theme.
Even the wedding night, when Brad launches his photon torpedoes.
Right.
Oh. Come on.
Oh.
All right.
George, do you mind if we just talk to your sister from now on?
Not at all.
Okay. I'd be happy to.
Okay. That's great. Lisa, did you hear that we had George Takei's sister on there?
I did.
On the phone?
Lika.
Crazy.
She's something. Isn't
she's
she?
Something. Wow.
Yeah. I'd like to meet her.
Yeah,
she
I bet you would.
Fun.
Me too.
Fred writes in on the email, "Oh my God, please send me the phone number for the oh so sexy Lika Takei. I'm setting my one-handed phaser for stunning." So apparently there's a lot of love for you, Lisa, the woman of a thousand voices. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. As you know, Coldplay tickets go on sale this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock for their upcoming Forum show, which I believe is July the 15th. It's going to be a tremendous show. Man, those guys are good. And if you want to see them up close and personal, like the Forum's not great enough, how about having them to your house? We're doing a grand prize drawing Monday morning to have Coldplay play your house. Tracy Bradley from Corona just qualified for that and won the Forum tickets. Your chance on the way from the world-famous KROQ.
All right, you got a ghost in your house? We got a guy for you.
Really?
Current day Ghostbuster. How about that?
Nice.
What cool. state is he in, Kevin?
John, what state are you in?
I'm in Florida.
Of course you are.
Florida.
Listen, before we talk about the ghost in a bottle, and we are interested in that, John, we've had this conversation lately on the air about how crazy the state of Florida is and how many unbelievably silly stories come out of there. It seems like almost every day there's something else. We're just talking about the Jesus in a tree out in Orlando. Have you heard about that?
Actually, I have. I've got bits and pieces of that. And, you know, you just never know what you're going to hear next.
But what is it about Florida that makes the majority of the crazy stories on the news come out of your state? I mean, is it just that you have a lot of old people or that OJ lives there or what?
You know what? I think people spend a lot of time on the beach and getting a little warm in the sun, not hydrating themselves enough. Maybe that's it.
That could be it.
Now, if I have a ghost, you can come put it in a bottle?
Well, let me just give you a quick synopsis of our legendary process.
Okay, okay.
We have a bottle supplier on the West Coast. We have ghost hunters that we contract out and throughout the United States, and we ship the bottles to the different ghost hunter associations. And what they do is they go out and respond to people that say they have a nasty ghost or whatever, and you know they're alleging to catch the ghost, put them in the bottle, blah blah blah. Go ahead and sign.
Wait, put them in the bottle, blah blah blah. Seems like it's a little more impressive than that.
Passing over it.
I can't tell you exactly how they do it, then that would take out the deceit.
What a letdown! This is the most bogus thing ever.
Well, it's really.
No, I thought it was real. I thought you'd come out and get a ghost and put it in a bottle, and you're telling me that you send bottles to people and then blah blah blah.
Really? You are kind of burying the lead here, man.
But you know, do you believe this? Are we in a technological age? You would believe that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Of course, certainly, yes.
Of course. And there's all kinds of strange technology. So I'm going to just sum it up right here by saying this. Some people go, prove there's a ghost in the bottle. They open it. And I'm going to say, prove that there's not a ghost in the bottle. Do you see all ghosts? No, you don't.
Well, you can't prove a negative in most cases, John. Listen, here's the deal, dude. It sounds to us, and we're very excited by ghosts. We love ghost stuff, okay? But it sounds to us like you're selling people empty bottles is what it sounds like. And you're saying, well, there could be a ghost in there. I don't know.
Prove there's not.
Well, you know, I'm not saying there is. I'm not saying there is.
Well, I'm saying I'm not going to send you $20 then, unless you tell me there's a ghost. You're just going to send me an empty bottle and say, prove there's not a ghost in it?
Well, John, you're selling a 90-cent bottle for $20. How is that a deal for the guy who's paying for it?
Well, you know what? We get a lot of, you know, it's just, let's back up. Let's look at this. Remember the sea monkeys, right?
Yeah,
sure.
That we've all had a little bit of sea monkeys. Well, you know, the little booklet that comes with it, and I'm not picking on the sea monkeys. Let's just be frank, though. They don't play volleyball. Okay, they're not going to jump through the little rings that you can purchase as an accessory kit.
Yeah,
but they're sea monkeys. So, you know, it's
what a bummer.
You know, but anyway, let me tell you. You get the ghost hunter certificate. It's actually with the ghost hunter seal, signed by the ghost hunter.
You get a ghost hunter certificate.
Well, that's all you need to know.
But I don't hunt ghosts. Why would I get that certificate?
Well, because it's got to certify the capture of your ghost, and it's got the temperament and the capture date. And then what's left for you to do, the consumer, is actually name the ghost.
The temperament? Did you say?
It's got a temperament, yes, on the certificate.
Like so what? It says cranky or a lot of fun.
Exactly. Curious.
All right. John, let me ask you this question. John is on the line from a ghost in a bottle.com, excuse me. You say that there may be a ghost or may not be a ghost. You don't know because you're not a ghost hunter. You're just the middleman here. Have you ever in your career had an experience of somebody buying a ghost in a bottle, opening it up, and having a ghost come out or having something unexplained happen as a result of opening it up in their house?
Well, I will tell you this. We get a lot of mail, and some people say, oh, it's a neat night. We'll be out on Wonderful, Wonderful. Then we get a lot of people that you wouldn't believe that say that there's freaky things going on in the house.
You don't get any mail from people saying there's freaky things going on in the house.
Now, do you want me to send you some certified
copies? No,
We do. You know, we actually have the testimonials on our site are actually real from real people.
Are there any from anyone over four?
Anyone over four? I think 44 or under.
Yeah.
So,
okay. All right. I'm disgusted.
Obviously, you're a skeptic.
Well, what could I be skeptical about? You're going to send me a bottle.
But
I have to prove to you there's not a ghost in it. Who could be skeptical about that?
Sounds like a good business plan to me.
Come on, John. You're just a scam artist.
No, not at all. I actually don't. I'm already rich. I don't need to be rich again.
Okay, well, look, there's a sucker born every minute, man, and if your business is working, then I guess you're proving it. But ghostinabottle.com is where you want to go if you want to check out what John's got going on. Of course, in the great state of Florida, we appreciate you joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Bye now. Wow, what a letdown.
Well, there was certainly a good chance it was going to be real, Kevin. We knew that before we called.
Might as well be naming stars. By the way, the Lakers play tonight. First game of the finals.
Right.
CC.
And Staples Center is going to be open if you'd like to go watch it with other fans.
Dude, if the Lakers were in the finals, I think we would have heard about it, Kevin.
Tonight, Thursday, and game two is on Sunday. And both of those games are in Boston. But if you want to, if you would like to go to the Staples Center with other fans, you can do that as well.
That'd be fun.
So if your home is too comfortable, yes, why not get in your car and drive on down in Park and go to Staples Center and watch it there?
Bean, you're missing the point.
I'm just asking.
Bean is the guy who will never understand being with fans and the excitement, the buzz, and all that. He'll never understand that. It's all right.
My wife says to me, "We got a new. I got a new TV for the house, right? Because we're moving into a new house." And she said, "Wow, it's really a nice setup you've got there now. I guess you'll be watching the Eagles games every Sunday in the comfort of your own couch on your new TV." And
I was like, "This is the point."
I was like, "No, I gotta go to the shack. I gotta be there with my peeps so we can all sort of root together and be there with, you know, the camaraderie." And that's why you go to something like that. It's not because of the quality of, you know, the watching experience. It's about other fans who feel the same passionate way that you do about your team.
I don't get it. All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51. Next hour, he's not just Jimmy's uncle, Cousin Sal. He's everyone's Cousin Sal. And we'll be talking to him about his WWE appearance coming up next hour. Also, a special guest in studio coming up after the news at 8 for Ask a Swinger. Wow. You know, everybody's talking about swinging now with that new TV show debuting tonight. Mm-hmm. A special guest with swinging experience is going to be joining us after the news at 8. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the showbiz news, I want to give you a heads up of something you can do this weekend. Besides Erotic LA, which I mentioned earlier, this weekend is also the Italian Feast of Santa Clarita Valley up in the SCV. If you're up there in the area, Valencia is the location at the Westfield Valencia Town Center. They're having their second annual Italian Feast of the Blessed Mother Mary. They're brought to you by the same folks who do the San Gennaro Feast,
which is fantastic,
in Hollywood every year, which is a great time. These same people are now moving it up north, so you folks in the Santa Clarita area can enjoy the same thing. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the Westfield Valencia Town Center. Lots of great Italian food, music, rides for the kids. It's quite an event, so you might want to check it out, if you live up in that area and you're looking for something to do this weekend. Just want to give you a heads up. Denise Richards won't shut the hell up.
Really, what a surprise.
Now she's telling everyone who will listen that her ex-husband's latest marriage to girlfriend Brooke Mueller, she said she will give him the boot within the next 6 months.
Well, that's possible.
It is possible. But shut up.
Yeah. Who cares what you think about my new marriage?
Let someone else say that if that's going to be the case. But you're just a bitter, wizened old pig lover.
I'm sure she does all this to promote her show.
I'm sure. Yeah. But
you're a whore! A filthy, filthy whore!
Just worry about your pig getting pregnant and just leave your ex-husband alone. Haven't you ruined his life enough? Hasn't he paid the price enough just having been married to you? Isn't that enough? What more do you need from him?
She's not extremely likable. Is that what you're saying?
She's not, but he can't have been all that much fun to be married to either. You shouldn't marry Charlie Sheen. No one should.
Well, I think that's probably good advice, but it should come from somebody else. True. She married him, so you shut the hell up about it.
It doesn't seem like that he's going out of his way to trash her at every opportunity.
He's not. You're right.
Anything he's ever said about her has pretty much been in response to something she said regarding, oh, he watches all this porn and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, just, you know, leave me alone.
F you effing bitch.
I know you saw the first episode of her It's Complicated reality show. I saw the same
that
one.
Would be the first and last.
It was on again since then. Did you feel about the poor schmuck that was set up on a blind date with Denise Richards? Had to sit there and try to make conversation with that shrew over dinner.
And she made him just work for every sentence of that conversation.
She wouldn't
give an inch. Everything was like rolling her eyes and deep sighs and breathing. And
the guy seemed like a nice guy, you know, but she was just a tool to him.
Just letting him know she was miserable every second of their time together. And he's desperately trying to make conversation. Hey, that's all wild things.
At
like
least he's
that
trying,
movie, you know. Yeah, she punished him.
You are in fact a whore.
Now here's a surprise. Victoria Beckham, everyone says, is a lot nicer than she looks.
Okay.
She, of course, the wife of soccer legend David Beckham and a Spice Girl in her own right. And in every photo you look at her, she looks like she's got a scowl on her face, like she's a skinny, miserable bitch.
Seems like it.
But apparently she is a lot of fun. According to gossip columnist Janet Charlton, she was the life of the party on a recent trans states flight from LAX to Newark, where she worked the plane, going up and down the aisle, chatting to nearly everyone on board, they say.
No kidding.
Wow.
She was hanging out in the coach section. She left first class to go back and talk to people and say hi in the coach section.
Wow.
And she sent her bodyguard, who was sitting in the coach section, up to first class so he could eat her meal. Because she wasn't really hungry.
Well, she clearly doesn't eat.
Yeah.
She could have used that food.
She had a peanut and a glass of Diet Pepsi, so she was full.
Yeah. I saw that NBC special they did last year, that hour-long special on Posh, and I got the impression that she really is just putting on an act when she puts on the frown everywhere she goes. I mean, she thinks it's funny to be that character, but I got the impression she actually seemed like a nice lady.
She does seem like a good time. And so apparently everyone aboard was talking about her after they got off the plane. What a fun thrill it was for the Spice Girl to hang out and chat them up, have a good time.
That's good.
Candy Spelling. You familiar with that name?
Oh, yeah.
She is the widow of Aaron Spelling, legendary TV producer.
Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
She's worth $600 million.
Oh!
That's her net worth.
Only 600?
That's all.
Million?
Oh, well, you can add another $180,000 to that because apparently she was hanging out at the Bellagio Hotel and Casino in Vegas this week when she hit a slot machine jackpot for $180,000.
Wow.
Sweet.
The rich get richer.
She's got to eat, dude. She's got to eat.
But I will say that if you're filthy rich like she is, you can play as long as you have time for. You don't ever have to go, well, I only have $20 to put in or something. You just keep playing until you win if you want.
Sure, you're putting in $5 at a time.
Yeah, she could have been playing the $5 machines, too.
Right.
Sure.
By the way, a year ago, also at the Bellagio, she hit another jackpot on a slot machine for over $300,000.
Oh, wow. Dude. God.
How many people can hit one of those in their lifetime, let alone two in a year?
It depends, I imagine, on the amount she plays. Maybe she plays all the time.
Maybe.
Full time, just sits there having people bring her money. Put it in the machine.
I mean, slots are for suckers, but once in a while, they pay off, I guess.
I guess so.
I hope she's still down, though. I hope she still has lost more than she's won.
$600 million, she's never going to be down.
No, I just mean with gambling.
She could start playing slots now and do nothing else for the rest of her entire life, and she'd still come out ahead.
That's true. That's a good observation.
Well, thank you so much. And do you guys remember the movie Capricorn 1? One of my favorite movies when I was a kid.
I don't think so.
Barely.
This was a movie that Joe Rogan would love because it was based on the...
Weed?
It was based on weed, yes. Now, it was based on the urban legend that the moon landing had been faked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they made a movie about that?
Well, sort of. They made it about a Mars landing. It took place in the not-too-distant future when NASA was planning to land on Mars because America needed a feel-good story. And the mission was a failure. They couldn't make it happen, so they faked it and put it all on a Hollywood backlot and faked the Mars landing.
Right.
And then the government tries to kill the astronauts because they're the ones who know the true story, and they have to kill them before they can tell the world that the whole thing was faked.
So it's realistic?
Very realistic.
Yeah. Not a good movie, but a great concept.
O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
O.J. Simpson and James Brolin played the astronauts.
He was an astronaut in it?
Yes.
He was.
Faking the moon, Mars landing?
Yes.
Awesome.
You got to check it out. It's one of the great cheesy movies of all time.
Nope.
Anyway, what do you mean no?
I say no.
Why?
I don't have that kind of time.
Oh, please.
That sounds bad. I am a very important person.
All you do is watch bad movies.
It's true.
You got time for the Zohan this weekend? You don't have time for O.J. Simpson playing an astronaut?
If you told him that movie came out in 2006, he'd watch it.
That's true. If it wasn't 1978, he would actually watch it. But anyway, they're remaking it. Daily Variety newspaper today says they're remaking the film. And no word on casting yet, but they're going to do another movie about faking the Mars landing.
Why are you bad, America?
But what's funny, though, and this is the conversation we always have with Rogan when he comes in about the moon landing, is it's not just the two guys in the space capsule that would be required to pull a hoax of that magnitude. There would be hundreds of people involved. You can't kill them all.
But there was like a shadow government running the deal.
Okay.
And the people at NASA, the feeds they were getting from the video and stuff, they all believed that it was actual video from the Mars
lander. So they thought someone was on Mars.
They thought it was real.
Yeah.
The only people who knew it were the shadow government and the astronauts who were forced to fake it.
This is f***ing retarded.
No, it was awesome.
I just put it on my Netflix queue. It's my top movie, Ralph. I'll have it this weekend.
You're going to love it.
And O.J. Simpson was one of the astronauts.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you're saying it can't be a black astronaut? Is that what you're saying, Kevin? Saying that's why it's hard to believe?
Nice. And O.J. doesn't exactly have acting chops.
Back in the day, man, he worked. And speaking of don't mess with the Zohan. Ugh.
It's going to be funny.
Shut up.
That is going to be a funny movie.
Gonna rip. Hey, Favreau laid the smackdown. He said it's awesome.
There you go.
That's true. He did.
You don't trust Jon Favreau, Ralph?
Good point.
Not after that crappy Iron Man thing he turned out. Oh, wait a minute. That was really good.
I thought that was great.
Adam Sandler and his wife Jackie are in the news. Apparently, Adam and his wife woke up one morning to find out there was a beehive above their master bedroom.
Oh, what?
Good times.
Adam was going to call an exterminator, but his wife, Jackie, is one of Bean's people.
Oh, no.
And said she couldn't stand to have the little guys killed.
So did they put them on a leash and name them? Like Bean does?
So Adam says they came to a compromise. Adam is charging the colony $1 rent.
He's charging the colony $1 rent.
For each bee.
Who's paying it?
Jackie, his wife. And he says that's an extra $1,100 per week.
What's going on
charging
here, Ralph?
Them rent? Look, ask him. Ask Zohan.
That's not a real story.
It is a real story, and people are dumb. That's my
point. Don't they have a guy come out and
kill them?
Catch it and move them outside. I mean, bees, you definitely don't want to kill bees.
That's true.
Don't.
We do have a bee shortage.
Definitely don't want to.
We have a real bee shortage.
We have a serious bee problem.
Do not
move them outside.
I'm just saying.
That's all.
Now he's charging them rent.
Bees. That is less believable than O.J. Simpson faking the Mars landing.
Here's the thing about all kinds of critters. If you came into their home, they would kill you. Bees wouldn't think twice about stinging you to death if you tried to get into their hive. Wouldn't think twice about it.
Because they're not smart enough to see the bigger picture than we are. That's the difference.
Law of the jungle. Go out and napalm some feral cats in the parking lot. I'll be right back. Goddamn cats. Today's celebrity birthday, saxophonist Kenny G is 52 years old today.
He's a fag.
A listener emailed me and said he ran into Kenny G at a birthday party. They both went to the same birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny G was wearing a baseball cap with Kenny G embroidered on it.
Are you kidding?
He was wearing the concert merch Kenny G baseball cap.
He's a douche.
I love it.
You can't wear your own merch.
Wow.
Ralph, bring in some Songbird or something for your next report, because I think there may be people listening who don't realize how bad this guy is. He's one of the best-selling recording artists in history. I think we need to expose him.
All right. He's 52 years old today. Richard Butler of the Psych Furs is 52 as well. Ron Livingston, very talented actor from Standoff on Fox and Band of Brothers and Office Space, 41 years old. Mark Wahlberg turns 37. Peanut of 311. Is 34, and Pete Wentz, a Fallout Boy, is 29 years old today. I wonder how Pete's going to celebrate his birthday. What do you think he'll do tonight, Psycho Mike?
Probably dance.
That's what I'm guessing. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday morning, we're going to do that drawing to find out which house Coldplay is going to play at.
They're going to be at a house?
Oh, Gilligan.
What? All right. As you know, our friend, our Ask a Mexican Guy, Gustavo Arellano, comes in on our show from time to time, and we ripped off his popular column and book and his Ask a Mexican series, and we've done that on our show. And then from there, we went on to ask a police officer and ask it. We've done a million of them, right?
Right.
A million of the Ask Us.
A million.
And there's one that we've been wanting to get to for a while, and it couldn't be more timely because there's a brand new primetime show debuting on CBS tonight called Swingtown. It's all about swingers, and it's set in the 1970s, which is the time I think that swinging kind of made it to the national radar. That's when it became popular. But it's still very strong, still going on very much today. And we've been trying really, really hard behind the scenes to line up some swingers. Ralph, what kind of problems have we had with getting experts for the swinging segment that we want to do?
There's been a bunch of problems.
All different?
All different. Some people couldn't get here in the morning because they have jobs, which is understandable. Some people, because we're asking for a couple to come in, one of the couple was comfortable talking about it publicly, and the other one was more shy and private about it, so they couldn't agree on that. And the majority of people, which is stunning and sad to me in this day and age, were afraid that they, even with changing their names, there might be their voices might be recognized, and the stigma of being outed as a person who engages in the lifestyle, as they call it now, would be detrimental to their careers or to their relationships with friends and family.
Are we talking about swingers still?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
That would be that negative of a connotation?
Well, here's the thing.
Connotation?
Well, imagine if your family found out that you engaged in the lifestyle with your wife.
They would say, we didn't know you were fat and ugly.
Oh, here we go with that.
And I would say, you have to let go of that.
And I would say,
false idea that you have about swingers. You really do.
And by the way, they did know you were fat and ugly. So yeah, that's not what they would say.
That is true.
So there's still a lot of stigma attached to the whole thing about swinging in the lifestyle. So I as we talked about it, and we had a hard time finding a couple to come in, I said, look, I was immersed in that lifestyle for years.
How many years were you a swinger?
Jeez, I don't know. 4 or 5, I guess.
Yeah, so you're the expert then.
I know it probably as much, if not more, than most people do. So I'm willing, more than willing to talk about
how
it.
How long were you fat and ugly?
4 or 5 years? My whole life.
But by the way, yeah, Kevin, your theory that all swingers are fat and ugly, I don't think you'd put Ralph in that category.
No, of course,
he's a perfect example of a guy that we're talking about who was in this swinging lifestyle.
I'll tell you something about the lifestyle. It's been around for, they speculate, around 60 years.
Right.
The phenomenon. It has never been less the case that swingers now are fat and ugly. It is much more of a young, hip, attractive person thing to do now more than it's ever been, thanks to the internet and the upscale clubs where swinging now takes
who
place.
Who knows more about this, me or you?
Me.
Okay.
Ralph, when I said that I thought that swinging burst into the national scene in the 70s, am I wrong about that? Is that just, am I just remembering my history wrong?
Or? That's where it
got. Because that's when it became pop culture with key parties and things like that, right?
That's when the media first grabbed hold of it, actually, because that's when swing clubs started to pop up around America. But it's been around since the 40s and 50s.
Swing clubs? Okay. There were nightclubs where you would go?
Clubs that were specifically, private clubs that were specifically designated for couples to go to swap partners.
That, like a dance club?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like a nightclub, only it encourages, it's got what they call playrooms where you can go and you can exchange partners and you can go there and have threesomes, foursomes, whatever you want to do.
Very heavy supported beds?
Floor that were extra? Stop it. That's when that first phenomenon first started to happen, because they started to get organized groups. It had been around since the 40s and 50s, oddly enough, near military bases. This is the origin of swinging.
Near military bases?
Fighter pilots and their families would tend to live together near military bases, both home and abroad.
Uh-huh.
And because of the high mortality rate of fighter pilots, their families would very get close, and often other pilots would say, I will take care of your family should anything happen to you, should you go down.
Take care was in quotes.
Right.
Should you go down
on a mission or something? And that initial relationship began to be permission from the husbands and the wives that they could exchange sex and have fun with each other.
So you're saying the wives of fighter pilots are fat and ugly?
No.
Well, you stop
Kevin,
with
you're
the
missing
fat
the
and
point
ugly.
Here.
I don't understand.
So the 40s and 50s, that happens, right? And then in the 60s, once the sexual revolution starts, there becomes a group called the Sexual Freedom League, which I always thought was cool because it sounded like a bunch of superheroes.
Yeah.
They were the first sort of organized swinging association, and that took place in Berkeley, California, Natch.
Sure.
And then it started to spread from there through the 60s and 70s during the Sexual Revolution, where more organized groups like the North America Swing Club Association, NASCA, and these other groups started to organize the swinging movement. So that's when it took on its popularity, in the late 60s, early 70s.
What's it like today? Are there clubs today where you
more, know? It's swinging now is bigger than ever. They say if all swingers got together as a voting bloc, they could elect a president.
Are
There's
you
that
serious?
Many people currently in the United States engaging in what they call
no
now
kidding.
Swinging is sort of an outdated term. Now it's called the lifestyle.
The lifestyle.
And it is larger than ever thanks to the internet, because it used to be like in the 50s they released what these called these contact newspapers and mags, which was like you would send in your picture and a biography about yourself,
right?
And you'd have to go to like a dirty bookstore and you pick up these
well, like an underground paper,
right? Like underground paper, and that's how you would find your swing partner,
like an ad in the back of the LA Weekly. It was that sort of a thing, right?
Printed
on extra heavy paper.
But stop it with the fat and ugly. But now there's so many websites and so many clubs and parties that are going on. I mean, there used to be one national convention for swinging. Now there's about 3 or 4 national conventions that happen in Vegas every year where swingers go in order to meet, mingle, and find new partners. So it's a massive movement.
Let me ask you this, 1-800-520-1067, by the way, if you have questions about swinging, of any aspect of swinging, Ralph is your man, he can take your calls. This is a nice flashback to the old Sex U days, by the way.
It is
Thursday, too.
Feels good.
But let me ask you this question. Is the primary reason that people are involved in the swinging as simple as it's a way to have sex with other people but remain faithful to your spouse because it's with permission? I mean, is that really what it boils down to?
You know, every couple has a different reason why they do it. If you believe the majority of swingers, when they often interview them, do research and take polls with this group, and they say that actually increases intimacy between the two partners because you are allowed to admit you find other people sexually attractive and that you're interested in having sex with other people as opposed to pretending that's not the case. They say everyone has these urges. Everyone has these feelings. We're acting on them. We're acting on them together. And it's actually brought us closer together and makes our life more sexually exciting and more that excitement transcends from the swinging experiences back to their own private lives when they're just having sex, the two of them at home as well.
Because it is kind of unnatural for most people to fight the urge to want to have sex with other people. I mean, we do that because we're involved in a marriage situation, right?
They believe that monogamy is a forced concept that is, in essence, false. That it's fighting your basic real human nature. And so by acting on that, by freeing up that ability to have sex with other people, it makes you a happier, healthier, emotionally healthier person.
So your partner says, you had sex with a heifer, you're not going to leave me for that.
They're not
safe
and ugly.
I'm safe. I'm in good shape.
All right. Let me ask you one more thing before we go to the break and then your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I would imagine, Ralph, for many people, the hardest aspect of the swinging would be fighting the jealousy that would be inherent with watching your loved one have sex with somebody else. I mean, I would imagine that would be so difficult for most people to get past, it would keep them out of the lifestyle.
Well, that's the thing. If you're that person, odds are you're not going to get into the lifestyle anyway. The people who tend to explore the lifestyle are people who are emotionally and sexually secure in their relationships. They've already talked about that. This is something they want to explore, and they get the added benefit, and this is the case in most couples. Either the woman is bisexual and is looking to explore those feelings, God bless her, or one or both of the couple get sexually turned on by watching their significant other with someone else. They're voyeuristic. They like the thrill of watching the person that they're with be with someone else. It's like watching a porn movie with your favorite person being the star of that live. And that's another aspect of the thrill. So it's usually a combination of those elements that is the sexual excitement and the exploration of it overtakes any potential jealousy they may have. And it turns out more so when you first experiment, and you may have that fear going into it, but when you realize after the fact that it's not a threat to your relationship, and ideally that's the way it turns out, it's just something that you're doing for a purely physical sort of social fun release, and then you can go back to your life and still be in a secure, happy relationship with your significant other, those fears and feelings of jealousy quickly dissipate, and most people who go into it with the right idea tend to stay in it and continue on.
Because they're getting the best of both worlds, right? All right, we got to take a break. Ask a Swinger is what's up for the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up next on K-Rock.
It's bad enough that it gets the point across.
It's horrible.
But I'm saying we might not want to play the whole thing.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. It's Ask a Swinger. Your phone call is 1-800-520-1067. The debate is over Omar's new intro that he just sent in. So let's give it a whirl and see how it is.
I'm saying we're gonna ask a swinger, cause they ain't messing with just one partner. Now I'm saying we're gonna ask a swinger, cause they ain't messing with just one partner. Go ahead and switch around. Go ahead and switch around. Go ahead and switch around. Go ahead.
I got
Stop
more.
Your singing this instant, young man. I will not have this in my studio.
No, we don't have to. That's fine.
Tickets over?
Now I'm saying we're going to ask a swinger.
Got a lot more.
At least it's not
Nope.
He rhymes swinger with partner.
DJ Omar Khan.
What happened to him?
He's lost the gift.
Let's go to the calls, 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Marta in Canyon Country. She's on line 3. She's asking a question I'm sure that lots of people are asking themselves as they listen to Ask a Swinger on K-Rock. Go ahead, Marta.
Good morning.
Hi there.
So are these just a bunch of fat and ugly people with STDs?
This is Kevin's theory.
I love you, Marta.
And here's the thing. Swinging in its current incarnation has never been more popular with young, hot, attractive people. There are parties, beautiful parties, name of one organization, where if you go to one of these parties in Vegas, you are blown away by the attractiveness and the youth of the crowd that hangs in the swing lifestyle. I mean, here's the thing. There are swingers from their 20s all the way up through their 70s, but they tend to sort of, like most social groups, kind of stay with their own ilk. So if you're in with a group of hot, sexy swingers, I mean, you're stunned by the looks of some of these people.
And the small amount of people that are there.
So it's hot, sexy people with STDs?
No, and here's your thing about STDs.
I love Marta now, too.
The incident of STDs among swingers is tremendously lower than in the general population, because these are the people who are intently aware of the potential of catching STDs, and so they go out of their way to be extra special careful. And so the incident of STDs among swingers is actually very, very low.
Overweight people have it hard enough being disgusting without you making fun of them.
Marta.
Thank you for the call, Marta. Let's go to line 7,
Think about it. If you know you're going to be swapping partners and you know the potential is you could catch something, you're going to be extra careful.
Absolutely.
To avoid that situation.
Sure.
And so the odds of getting something from someone else, they tend to be much cleaner sexually than the average person.
Mary is in Fullerton. Good morning. You're on the Kevin DeBean Show. Here, ask a swinger.
Hey, guys. Haley's
the main. Hi, Mary.
Hi. My question is there anything that's like off limits, or is it all like anything goes? Or does it have to be mutually agreed upon?
Yeah, the prime directive in all swinging situations is no means no. And you're surprised. A lot of people are fearful when they go to their first event. They think it's going to be some sort of groping orgy where everyone's going to just start attacking them. People are very polite. They're very open about it. So they'll ask before any touching or anything happens. And everything has to be agreed upon by all the parties involved before anything happens. So
anything goes, you can do what it, yeah.
You know, but it's
as long as you're okay with it.
Anything can go as long as you're okay with it, but there still are even some amongst a very sexually sort of open, aware group. There are still some taboos. For instance, male bisexuality is still frowned upon in the lifestyle, whereas female bisexuality is encouraged and almost mandatory in some situations. It's almost expected that the women will play together.
Well, God loves lesbians. I mean, we know that.
That's right. But even amongst, you know, sexually illuminated people, there still are a few taboos that people don't go. They don't cross certain boundaries, but for the most part, almost anything is open.
Another taboo? Dieting. They are very against it.
Kevin, I'm going to take you and your wife to an event sometime. Let's go, and you can just look around, and you can see what the real situation is.
I'm not saying that there aren't exceptions, because that's stupid. But
it's not an exception at
all. I'm saying 90%.
No, you're wrong.
Who knows more about this?
I do. Oh,
that's right. That's
Let's try line 1. Jen is in Santa Ana on the Kevin DeBean Show. Jen, you're on with Ralph. Ask a swinger.
Good morning. Well, my boyfriend and I are going to get involved in this lifestyle, and we've set down certain guidelines. He's been doing this for years and years and years and loves the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been exposed to it, but I'm willing to open myself up and experience new things.
Oh,
so true. Yeah. But my thing is, I committed myself to this man, and so I told him in the beginning, I don't want to be with another man. That is something that he's sexually turned on by. He would love to see me with another man.
Right.
That's not something that I want. But I told him that I'm open to being with women.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to make the correct to go about doing things. I told him, you know, we need to take baby steps, go to one of those clubs and see how things are, because like somebody just mentioned, I don't want to go walk in and feel like I'm going to get groped all of a sudden.
You won't. That's a fear that a lot of people have, but it's just not the case. A lot of first-time swingers will go to an event and not do anything. They'll just sort of soak in the atmosphere and see what goes on and get a feel for what the people are like. And on the whole, people are very sort of friendly and open, and it's much more social than you think it's going to be. It's like going to any party where people talk and they hang out and they have cocktails and they have long conversations. It's not all about just jumping into bed with each other.
This message goes out to ugly people and fat people. Don't reproduce.
And but then the thing
can you watch, though? Can people
absolutely
go and just watch?
Absolutely.
I would think Okay.
Absolutely. There are areas where people like being watched, and there's some areas that are private where you can't go unless you're going to participate. But for whatever your interests are and whatever baby steps you need to take, you'll find people who are willing to accommodate that. There's a lot of people in lifestyle which are called soft swappers, which are just girl-girl swappers. The men don't get involved. They can watch, and they can be with their own partners, but they don't interact with the other women. Those are soft swappers. There are full swappers where the couples do swap partners. There are hot wife groups where guys just watch their wives with other men. That's their turn on. So whatever your aspect is, whatever your rules are, you'll find people that you can hang and play with.
But by hot wife, they mean what?
Hot wives.
Oh.
Thank you for the call. All right, we have so many great calls, and I appreciate you all calling. We only have time for one more, though, and it's going to be Rio on line 8. Rio is in Torrance. Ask a swinger on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead, Rio. You're up.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, good morning.
I actually don't have a question. I just wanted to let, I think it's Kevin who keeps saying that all the swingers are fat. I've been swinging for about 10 years, and I went to my first swinger convention type thing by myself with a guy friend, and he told me I didn't have to do anything. And so I just kind of sit around and watch, and it actually was better for a single girl to go in than a single guy.
That girl's fat.
Yeah, most single guys can't even get into
they
these
don't
events.
Let right, them, right,
right.
Yeah.
That girl's fat.
So was,
would you say
easy.
Your feed to four bills?
Oh, Kevin.
So, Rhea, did you find the majority of the people at the events you've been to are attractive, or would you think, like Kevin does, that they're all fat and ugly?
Well, in the beginning, when I was 22, everybody there was 40, so of course they were old, but now that I'm older, the people actually have gotten a lot better looking.
Now that you're old and fat, they all look better?
Oh.
now that I've gained 80 pounds?
Her. She's got elbow cleavage.
All right, thank you for the call. All right, Rio. We appreciate the call.
So
Ralph,
hard.
where can people go for more information on the topic, if there is?
Buffet.
There are a ton of
a
sites.
A Leonard Nimoy photo shoot.
There are a ton of sites on the web. You can start off with NASCA, NASCA, which is the North American Swing Club Association.
They put on those car races on the weekend, too,
no,
right?
NASCAR. NASCAR. This is NASCAR. Or you can go to lifestyles.org, which is another good organization. But there are a ton of great clubs locally here in Southern California that you can go to as well. Lots of great parties. Vegas has great parties all year long. There's a lot of sites. And if you really need more information, feel free to email me at ralph@krock.com, and I can send you in the right direction.
Or email me, and I'll give you the
track. Yeah, Kevin will be the guy you want to talk to.
It's actually kind of sad. I mean, I'm not clowning on Jimmy or anything. I love the dude, but you think he'd be able to pay Sal enough that Sal wouldn't have to go off and get a weekend job. You know, I'm just saying, working on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show, you think ought to be enough to pay the bills, but now Sal's out wrestling. It's just...
Oh, really?
Yes. Really? It's sad. Right. I don't know. Cousin Sal, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, my friend?
What's happening, guys?
What's going on? How are you? How did you end up in the WWE? You got your body's worse than mine.
Oh yeah, I know.
Well, not worse.
You know what? It's a weird thing. Do you want to know the real way or the scripted out way?
Give us the real way. I want to know the real way.
No, we have a friend, and I said, hey, you got to get me a storyline, and she said, all right, here it is. But the way the American public saw it is Jimmy threw me a party at Hooters on the show. And, you know, my first love is calories and hot wings. And
sure.
Rowdy Roddy Piper showed up, my childhood idol. He gave me a cake. And then this guy, Santino Marella, out of nowhere, he, I guess, has a beef with Rowdy Roddy Piper. And he came in and he smacked me in the face. And
dude, why would he do that?
I don't know.
That's outrageous. People, that's really. Crazy.
I tried to explain we're doing something for television. You know, you walked into a weird thing here, but he didn't want to hear it.
Okay, so then you threatened his life.
That's right. And then somehow, a week later, I'm in Kansas City, and Rowdy Roddy Piper is offering my services. He says Santino challenges me to a match, and Roddy accepts on my behalf. And it's been all downhill since then.
And then you have to fight him for real?
Yeah, this is going on for real. Yeah, I mean, he's been training me like every day, Roddy. And he basically just slaps me in the face a couple dozen times a day, and then we go get lunch.
That's a hell of a workout.
That's right.
Sure.
That's right.
Sal, is any part of the backstory based in truth? Were you a WWE fan? Did you care about Rowdy? I mean, is any of it true?
Oh, I loved him. I loved him to death.
Really?
I used to wear a kilt to Madison Square Garden. I'd get chased out by sections of people, but I was such a big fan. I would do his voice, and I got suspended in school like probably seven times just because I would I would approach my social studies teacher and say, "So you think you know Vasco da Gama? You don't know nothing, man." I would do Roddy's voice. It was just a bad thing. Uncooperative behavior in class across the board.
Hard to believe. Now, I can understand that when you're a kid or a teenager or something like that. Who are the people, seriously, you've been doing this a few weeks now. Who are the people in 2008 who are still buying into and enjoying the WWE in an era of things like the UFC that really are great? Where's the audience for the old wrestlers?
Oh, I don't know where they come from, but they have not gone away.
They haven't, really.
I read this as this dirt sheet, and there's millions of fans writing about how they hate me and everything, and how I'm going to ruin the sport, win or lose. And I don't know. The enthusiasm has not waned at all.
The first time you take a punch to the face on the street, you got to let us know.
Okay. Yeah,
crazy fan.
You ruined it!
We are talking to Cousin Sal from Jimmy Kimmel Live. He really is Jimmy's cousin. WWE Friday Night SmackDown is going to air tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on the CW. While we have you on the line, Sal, I'm not going to forget the way you really make your money, which is in the bookmaking industry.
How dare you?
What's the action like for Boston-Los Angeles NBA Finals starting tonight? Who's favored?
If you like the Lakers, you have to bet $2 to win a dollar. I can't even imagine betting $2 to win a dollar.
So they're way favored?
Yes, they're favored.
Okay.
Yes. And the Celtics, you get, you know, almost 2-1 because the bookies get some money in between there. But
so if you bet on the Celtics, you can win 2 by betting 1.
Right, almost that much, yeah. So I don't know. I like the Lakers, and I just think they're much better, and they play in a better conference, and they just, you know, the Celtics have had some close calls, but there's this Boston mystique, which worries me. You know how these idiot Boston fans are able to rub your face in it, and you're like, what the hell happened there, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
But
how many games do you think? Because it's going to be 2 there, 3 here, and then 2 there.
Yeah, it's unorthodox, but I'm picking the Lakers, I think, in 6. I know that means they'll have to win in Boston, close it out, but I like them. I have a lot of money on them.
He says nervously.
Yeah. How big a deal is it going to be? How much of an advantage is it going to be for Boston to be able to play those first 2 games at home?
Well, it depends. I mean, it's almost a must win. I mean, I think it is a big advantage because you would think 3 in the middle, well, the Lakers will take one of those off. But starting off with 2 at home, knowing you have 3 on the road, you almost have to win those 2. Otherwise, you're in really bad shape, I think, if you're the Celtics. So
that's a good point. Yeah. All right. Well, good times. That's going to be tonight. And what network's got the game tonight, Kevin? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know.
ABC.
ABC.
Yeah, ABC. Okay. All right.
We have a pregame show. That's before the game is when they do the pregame show.
They do that before the game this year?
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have a half-hour primetime special tonight.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad we had you on to tell us that. That's awesome. All right, so
excellent.
Look for that on ABC tonight with the Jimmy Kimmel Live and then with the NBA Finals with the Lakers. And then WWE Friday Night SmackDown is going to be on CW tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Good luck, Cousin Sal. Yeah. Man, I hope you win.
You're both invited to my wake, probably Monday morning. I don't want to put anyone out after the show, 10:30 or so.
Okay, great. Thanks, Sal.
All right, guys.
After that, of course, Weezer and the new CD is out, finally. Came out Tuesday.
And it's awesome, and it name checks Gordon Lightfoot's Wreck of the Ed Fitzgerald in it, by the way. So way to go, Rivers. Coming up next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, LaQuisha reviewing Tila Tequila's Shot at Love, and we'll give you more chances to qualify at any time on K-Rock to have Coldplay play your house. Details at K-Rock.com. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday morning. What's going on, Argar?
You haven't seen the Pork and Beans video, by the way. Do yourself a favor.
It's awesome.
Dial that up.
It's awesome.
They're about the most creative band there is with video.
Have you seen their stuff on MTV?
I don't think
so. There's a bunch of clips and everything they're running on MTV as little bumpers and things.
No, I don't think I have.
Featuring some of the music, the videos of the music. It's just great, great stuff. Yeah. Poor Ed McMahon.
Yeah.
What happened now?
Legendary TV personality Ed McMahon, of course, was the co-host of the, not the co-host, but the sidekick for Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show for many, many years.
Yes!
Then hosted Star Search, and he was with Dick Clark on Bloopers and Practical Jokes. The guy's been around forever.
Yeah.
I actually did a pilot for a game show with him once. He was the host of the show.
Really? Yeah.
And couldn't have been a nicer guy.
He's a pro. Was he one of the guys who used to show up at people's houses and give them the $1 million check, too? He was involved in one of those sweepstakes that they used to do commercials for all the time, too.
Yeah.
Remember?
Ed McMahon comes to your house?
Yeah.
Anyway, Ed's losing his home. He's in Beverly Hills, and apparently he's about $650,000 behind on his mortgage.
Ouch.
Yes.
And he's in danger of getting foreclosed upon, and he's trying to sell the property. But he can't.
Bad market?
No, because he lives in the same neighborhood as Britney Spears.
Yes.
And everyone who comes to see the house
runs into the circus of media that surrounds her and the paparazzi that are constantly staking out her house. And they say, F this, there's no way I'd buy in this neighborhood.
God, I don't blame them. It seems like there's something you should be able to do.
So poor Ed is desperate to sell his house and can't get a buyer because Britney Spears is a whore.
That girl's fat.
That's how it shakes down.
She's probably a swinger, too.
Probably fat and ugly. Imagine not being able to move a house in Beverly Hills because the neighborhood's undesirable.
No kidding.
That doesn't happen very often in BH.
That's rough. She's probably the only person that could make that neighborhood bad.
Yeah, that's a drag. I feel bad for the dude.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to this paparazzi problem because we do cherish our First Amendment right to be able to do what they do. I mean, it is legal for them to be on public property around somebody's house 24/7, but it sure seems like for decency's sake, there ought to be a way to move them down the road or out of the area or something.
Well, for the sake of other people like this guy. They're for the neighbors.
Exactly.
It's the collateral damage around the celebrities that it can be even more troublesome.
And when we're calling for decency.
I know.
Seriously.
Is there some kind of loitering law or something they can enforce when people are just hanging outside someplace with a camera?
I don't think on public
Taco
property. On public
have property, to move every hour, right?
But they're selling
Taco
food.
Trucks? I think so.
But they're selling food.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I think that's a major
well, I'm
difference.
Just saying, that's kind of a loitering law.
I don't know,
it's
but
about
I
selling food. I'm with Ralph. I feel so bad for Ed on this. I mean, that would suck.
Anyway, if you're in the market for a new house, it's just the asking price is currently $6.25 million.
All
so
right.
It's a 6-bedroom house.
It's a nice place, by the way.
It's $1 million a bedroom. It's not a bad deal.
Just gotta stay indoors.
Go check it out. That's all. Help a man out, won't you? Speaking of Britney. Adnan Galib has learned the lesson, don't cross her.
Oh, bro, bro,
really?
bro.
Apparently, Adnan Galib, speaking of paparazzo, ex-boyfriend of Britney, was trying to sell a video of Britney doing a striptease for him.
Glendale!
He was set to close a deal with an internet company that was going to launch the video on a website, and just before it happened, he got stabbed.
Did you say stabbed?
He tried to sell the video. Shortly after he tried to broker the deal, he was stabbed.
That's excellent.
There's a way to deal with the paparazzi.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good news.
But do you... she puts out videos of her stripping pretty much.
I mean, do you think she has the wherewithal to hire somebody? No.
Adnan says the matter's still being investigated, so there's no way to tell for sure whether the two are related incidents.
Adnan's effing shaky, that's all I'm saying.
Maybe sold somebody a bad cell phone.
That's possible.
Maybe,
it's
you know.
More probable, even.
He did Ed McMahon's mortgage.
Maybe that's what it was. It was a shaky mortgage deal, and Ed decided to take matters into his own hands.
Oh, Levi, interesting.
Levi, bro.
Yes. Stab. That's what Ed said.
Does he say that when he stabs?
Yeah.
Stab.
That's what he said. So, anyway, Adnan says he's going to lay low for a while. Oh, something good came out of
it.
Why, Brittany, why?
And Lizzie Lohan,
is
making the right friends. She was backstage at the MTV Movie Awards last weekend.
Lindsay Lohan.
Mike got an interview with her. That's his interview with Lindsay.
That was it. That was his whole interview. Yeah.
She ran into Johnny Depp backstage, and he suggested he had a cure for her problems. She just needs a vacation.
I got a cure for her, bro.
Do you?
Oh.
I don't even know what that means.
She just needs a vacation?
That's what Johnny thinks. So he offered her the use of his balls.
Sorry.
No.
Use of his what? I'm sorry?
No, the use of his
balls.
No. The use of his
balls.
Private Caribbean island.
Jesus.
Nice timing, by the way. He's got a private island he calls F Off Island.
Oh, that's a good one.
And he thinks if Lindsay would just take him up on his offer, go spend some time there, she could escape the pressures of fame and just, you know, get a chance to kick back in his personal paradise and get her act together.
On her private island.
On his private island, F Off Island.
Yeah. Lindsay has the means to go anywhere she wants. She chooses to be at the Ivy on Robertson and every place else. I mean, she wants this life that she's living.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know if she has the means or not. Everyone says she's out of money because she spends a lot and hasn't worked in a long time.
She doesn't have the means for an island.
No, certainly not. But she could be out of the public eye if she wanted to. She could go someplace where we couldn't find her if she wanted to. She doesn't want to.
Speaking of money, Lindsay's trying to make some more by launching her own fragrance. Apparently, according to the Sunday Times of Britain, she is working on her own line of perfume, experimenting with different scents, trying to come up with the perfect fragrance that says Lindsay Lohan. Currently, the front runner smells of tipperillos and scallops.
Oh!
I would not want to smell like that.
Well, you wouldn't think separately. You don't think they smell so good. You add them together.
Really? It's supposed to be good?
Yeah, it's heavenly.
Doesn't sound good.
Dr. Zulu!
Yeah. Do you even smoke tipperillos anymore?
No.
They were cool. Remember little cigars with little holders in them? Tipperillos? Should a man offer a woman a tipperillo?
The pimp that was handling the transvestite that Beer Mug hit on.
He was working at Tipperillo?
He was.
Still working him.
I might bring the Tipperillo back. I think it needs a resurgence.
Not.
Oh, no, you did! No. Today's celebrity birthdays, Pete Wentz of Fall Out Boy is 29 years old today.
Come on, honestly.
Bassist Peanut of 311 turns 34. Marky Mark Wahlberg turns 37. Ron Livingston turns 41. Richard Butler of the Psychedelic Furs is 52. And saxophonist Kenny G, who we've been talking about all morning long as one of the downfalls of Western civilization, turns 52 years old today. For those of you who aren't familiar with Kenny's work, here's a little taste of the G-Man.
That's it. That's the worst music in the world right there.
Didn't you think, like, this has to be an instrumental version of a real song someplace? Like, nope. That they just use for instrumentals for, like, a elevator, office?
So, guys, my sweet lady, would you like some cognac while I light the fire and get into my smoking jacket?
The dude has sold 50 million albums, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
Kenny G, 50 million albums.
M'lady, can I offer you a tipperillo?
That is bad.
It's horrible, right? It's the worst music in the world. Tell me you wouldn't rather listen to country music than listen to that.
Oh,
that's a tough one.
Seriously.
Right there. That's a tough one.
I mean, I know how you feel about country music, but listen to that.
I can ignore that easier than I can ignore country music.
I guess.
Yeah. Country music is a little more in your face.
Yeah. Dude's Jewish. He sold
my American booty for it. I
can't ignore that.
Dude's Jewish. He sold most of them Christmas music.
Yeah.
Most.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all about Jesus once the money comes around. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's time for the Afroline. Kevin Amin, Afroline is an answering machine we have for you set up 24 hours a day. You call us at 323-520-AFRO. And we don't say this often enough, but we really do appreciate when you call. We love the Afroline. We're glad we have it. You do make some tremendous contributions to the program. Usually you're funnier than we are.
Or you correct what needs to be corrected.
Hey, you know what the show was missing? More talk about Sherlock Holmes. You guys really nailed it this time. Go big boy.
Every once in a while, perhaps we do get off on an unnecessary tangent.
Do you think?
Oh, man.
I don't know if you guys saw the hockey playoffs last night, but the Red Wings won the cup.
I heard that.
No more hockey.
Again.
Oh, man. Penguins lost. I was really looking forward to seeing them win the Stanley Cup. No!
Yeah, I cut off the rest. That dude's a Red Wings fan, and he was screaming about blah, 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 Red Wings. Blah, 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 blah. F you.
They are they're a dynasty, that's for sure. They bring it.
Time for Doc on the Rocks, Fact of the Day. I enjoy going on the internet and purchasing sex dolls with large That was Doc on the Rocks, Fact of the Day.
Wow. Long-time listener there.
Yeah.
Social commentary, always welcome.
Foreclosure.
Oh, that's just sad.
That's my dude right there. Remember when we were talking yesterday to Sustainable Dave?
Yes.
Of course.
It may have been one too many times for this listener.
Okay, guys. I'm seriously sick. So sick. The going green crap. I'm done. I can't take any more of this. This organic, this green, go green, save a light bulb, I don't care. I want to leave my lights on, I want to fill up my SUV, drive cross country, grab Sustainable Dave's trash, leave it out the window, go club some baby seals,
okay.
Shoot a polar bear, I don't care, I'm sick of this I'm sick of it, go green, no, go brown, go pollution, I'm sick of this.
Go Brown. Well, UPS is going to be happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Dude, wow.
Go Pollution is not gaining much steam. I'll tell you that.
No, it's not. Look, there are plenty of planets we can go live on. Just do whatever you want to this one, then we'll move on.
Right, exactly. Earlier this morning, we talked to George Takei about his wedding plans. And he apparently was joined by his sister, Lika Takei.
Mm-hmm.
Played very accurately by our own Lisa May. And I think people are going to be surprised to hear that.
Yeah, because they thought they're...
Because they thought it was really George Takei's sister.
What the hell was that? Lisa, the comedy stylings of Lika, the traffic genius? Oh, it's good times right there. Oh, 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 I love Lika. Oh, 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 oh. Holy s***. Lika Takei.
It's a hit.
It's a hit. The people like it.
Have to do it again tomorrow.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
How about a pair of tickets to the off-road racing championships this Saturday and Sunday at the Fairplex in Pomona? Plus, we'll give you some K-Rock advanced screening tickets for The Incredible Hulk. That'll be coming on Thursday, June 12th. That's what you get at 1-800-520-1067. For Kevin and Beans, what it do, nephew?
All right, let's begin with Kevin and Ventura. Good morning.
Hey, guys, what's up?
What it do?
Morning.
How you doing, Lisa May?
Good.
What's going on?
Hey, I'm just wondering... Did you guys watch John McCain's speech 2 nights ago?
Was his big speech from New Orleans, right?
Yes.
Is that politics?
I saw a little bit of it.
Yeah, it is. Politics. Nope, I'm out.
I saw some of it. Why? What about it?
You thought it went well?
No, he said he saw some of it. What about it?
Well, I mean, his smile was the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my life. Okay. Every time he looked at that camera and smiled...
Well, he's not very good at reading off a teleprompter, which is a shame. As a politician, you do need that. He does not look especially comfortable, but I think the bigger problem for him that night was he was giving that speech to what looked like about 150 people in New Orleans,
yeah.
The same time that Barack Obama was giving his speech to 20,000 in Minnesota. So it didn't – I would have just sat that night out and said, you know what? The news is going to be elsewhere tonight. I'm just going to pass on this evening. But look, there's a lot of campaign to go here, Kevin. You can't really judge either candidate. Today based on whatever you saw that one night.
There is. That's the problem. We still have like 7 years before the election. Oh, dear God. All right. Let's go to Dane in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Dane. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. What did you
do? So I go to school back east, and you guys have been giving Kenny G a lot of stuff today, so I thought I'd give a call in and get in on the action.
Okay.
But my teacher, music theory teacher, was Kenny G's brother, actually.
Oh, can you imagine?
And naturally, I took the class as soon as I possibly could in my college career and ended up going through it. And Kenny G's brother was a little bitter at Kenny G's whole life. It seemed like a lot of backhanded stabs at how successful his brother was and how he was a teacher.
I should have been a successful
It's hard to be Bobby G.
Exactly.
Brother's Kenny.
Exactly. So, last day classes, finals are over. I've already earned my C. And Kenny G...
You're happy with that.
I love it. I'm psyched. And Kenny G comes in for a little treat, and me and my buddy pregame the event, obviously. So we're sitting in the back of a bunch of music theory, like, majors who are absolutely loving it. And Kenny G ends up serenading us for 50 minutes with his newest Christmas Carol ditties.
Oh,
and
my God.
It was as bad as you'd imagine.
Okay, let me ask you this question, Dane, and we'll let you settle it. Worst music in the world, Kenny G, or is there something worse?
I mean, I really can't think of anything that would be that bad.
High school marching bands.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wing. I know there are some that are good.
What?
Wing. How Wing. Dare you?
Wing is so bad it comes back around to good.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yes.
Thank you for the call, Dave. We appreciate it. Let's try Jerry up in Valencia. He's on line 3 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jerry, what it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hold on, Jerry.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jerry, after cop. I just wanted to say...
Oh, you're our Ask a Cop guy, yes.
Yeah, it's me. I just wanted to just tell Bean that the Mariners suck.
Yeah, well, like, Bean doesn't already know that. I mean, come on.
You mind if I play the clip of the coach?
Their coach is hopeful, though, right? Their manager?
Their coach is very happy, very excited about them being 700 games below 500.
Let me set this up here.
Is that possible?
The Mariners got swept again, this time by the Angels. And after the game, you know, the reporters go in to talk to the skipper. And I think Coach McLaren at this point realizes he's going to get fired. His team sucks. And he's just out of answers, out of explanations as to why the team is so bad. And last night was the night he finally lost it.
We're playing our ass off every day and got nothing to show for it. I'm tired of losing. I'm trying to get my ass beat, and so are those guys. We got to change this shit around and get after it. And only we can do it. The fans are pissed off, and I'm pissed off, and the players are pissed off. And that's the way it is. There's no fucking easy way out of this. Can't feel sorry for ourselves. Got to fucking buckle it up and get after it. Tired of damn losing this every night, and we bust our ass. It's got to be a total team effort to turn this thing around, and that's it.
Dude, he's the new Lasorda. Come on.
He's like throwing a temper tantrum like he's four.
Yeah, and by
the
frustrated.
Way, you can't be angry and the players can't be angry. Everybody else can be angry, but it seems like if you're the ones doing it, I don't know.
Good point.
Play some ball.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's ugly. I mean, it has been a miserable season.
I know, it's great. All right, let's go to Josh, who is calling from Glendale.
Glendale!
What's going on, Josh?
What are you doing, nephews?
What are you doing?
So, a little while back ago, I went to go see the Chronicles of Narnia, the second one, and it wasn't really that good. Mm-hmm. Kind of disappointed.
Right.
And the preview before the movie started, you know, I'm sitting there with my girl, and I'm looking, and, you know, they're showing Aztec ruins, and then this horrible voiceover, like, wannabe, like, Mexican, like, speaking English, kind of like King of Mexico.
Right.
And he comes on saying, I used to run with Aztec warriors. Now, I'm being pampered in Beverly Hills. And it's a bunch of Chihuahua dogs.
What?
And the movie's called Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Yep.
No. No.
Yes.
That exists for real?
That really. I was sitting there and I looked over at my girlfriend and I was like, I gotta call Kevin and be on this. This is horrible.
It wasn't a joke, though?
It wasn't a joke.
Is it a cartoon?
No. It's like actual Chihuahuas and like they make mouth move and stuff.
First of all, Psycho Mike's going. First of all, Mike is there. He's going.
Totally going.
And second of all, this is for people who missed the Chipmunks movie since it left theaters.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua, really?
Dance number on the Aztec pyramids, and then they were carrying Chihuahuas on pillows on their shoulders.
No, they weren't.
Other Chihuahuas on pillows on their shoulders.
They were not doing that, Josh.
Sign of the apocalypse.
Is Ralph there?
Yes, I'm here.
You've got to veto this stuff, man.
I hear you, brother.
I didn't know he could.
Ralph doesn't have that kind of...
I got to become vice president of no effing way in Hollywood.
It's for those people. Why couldn't this burn down in the Universal Studios?
That's a great question.
It's for the people who desperately miss the Chalupa Chihuahua from Taco Bell.
What the hell?
This is on the level of like Step Up 2, Never Back Down.
How dare you? Those are way better.
Whatever that stupid movie was, this is on that level.
Okay, Josh.
Good touch. Easy, Josh.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Ralph, they really should have let you be the head of the Chamber of Commerce there in Hollywood. What were you going for? The mayor of Hollywood. You should have gotten the mayor of Hollywood. You could have stopped this movie, man. You could have put your foot down.
Could have passed a resolution. No Chihuahua movies.
All right. Well, Josh, is an excellent way to end it for today. I want to thank all of our special guests on the program, including Jimmy Kimmel's cousin Sal. See him on the WWE Friday Night SmackDown. That's going to be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on the CW. Also, thanks to, talk about a deal just in time for Father's Day. John Deese, the creator of Ghost in a Bottle. Go to aghostinabottle.com and don't buy it.
Yeah, that was that seemed to us like the worst scam of all time. Maybe.
You don't know. If
maybe the worst of all.
You don't know.
He said to us, prove there's not a ghost in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, try it. We don't have to buy it.
Blah, 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 put a ghost in a bottle.
Put a ghost in a bottle and then blah, blah, blah. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Matt Money Smith from Boston.
Oh, okay.
Game one, of course, the Lakers is tonight. We have a movie beat tomorrow because it's Friday. We are going to tell you about the latest Bob Dylan rumor. Apparently, Jewel wants him in a bad way.
Wow.
I don't know if you've heard of this Emmanuel Shrieky. Pretty strong, it turns out.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to her tomorrow. She's in Don't Mess with the Zohan. And we're going to talk about people who completely screwed up at work in a major, major way tomorrow. And that's going to be based on the dude that left his blowtorch on and set Universal on fire.
Wow. Unfortunately, good rule of thumb if you're working with a blowtorch. Turn it off.
Turn it off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody had to call him at some point and he went,
oh crap. Or worse, he was sleeping and he woke up around 3 o'clock and was like, oh, crap, I think I left my blowtorch on. He turns on the news.
I don't think you ever go back to work.
Studios burnt to the ground.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all tomorrow morning. Plus, don't forget Coldplay, a chance to go see the concert and for the band to perform at your house.
This new song called I Kissed a Girl is so awesome. It's by the beautiful Katy Perry, who I saw, I didn't meet her, but I saw her backstage at the Weenie Rose. Very pretty girl. And we'll be playing that coming up next as part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Also, Weezer's latest on the way, Pennywise, Foo Fighters, Incubus, and more with Kat Corbett all right after this on K-Rock.